I am sorry, but your baby is blind, the doctor says.
The problem is your child cannot see well enough to keep up with classroom work,
the teacher says. These are words a parent never wants to hear. But you know, it doesn't have to be the end of the world. The American Council of the Blind is here for you and your child. With a national network of state and local chapters, the American Council of the Blind can make sure that you meet the people who understand blindness. We will ensure that your child meets blind people who have succeeded in getting their education and who work as lawyers, teachers, automobile mechanics, and in virtually every other profession. For more information or a membership application, call 800-424-8666 or contact us online at www.acb.org. The American Council of the Blind, forging new frontiers for our future.
The Association of Blind Citizens, ABC, offers a variety of programs that enrich the lives of the blind and visually impaired community across the nation. From assistive technology funding programs designed to lower the cost of assistive technology by 50%, to college scholarships, to Braille book productions, the Association of Blind Citizens is creating opportunity one step at a time. More information is available at www.blindcitizens.org. The Association of Blind Citizens is a proud sponsor of this year's 43rd American Council of the Blind Convention in Birmingham, Alabama.
America Online is proud to support ACB radio coverage of the 43rd Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind. Check out AOL's new Netscape Internet service at only $9.95 per month with unlimited dial-up access. Netscape is just the net you need. Designed with accessibility considerations in mind, Netscape Internet Service offers people with disabilities a low-cost and reliable way to get online. Features like webmail and email support for standard POP3 email software like Outlook Express, plus convenient access to news, weather, and financial information from the Netscape homepage are just a few benefits of the Netscape Internet service. More information can be found on the web at www.getnetscape.com. You've got access at AOL. Find out more at www.aol.com/accessibility or at AOL keyword accessibility.
ACB Radio Mainstream coming to you live from the Birmingham Jefferson Convention Complex in Birmingham, Alabama. A very good afternoon to you. It's Friday of Convention Week, day six of our coverage of the general sessions. And those of you tuned in earlier will know that today things are happening very, very slowly. People have plenty of debate and plenty of things on their mind that they wish to discuss. And I've just returned from having lunch with Jonathan Mosen, who's still here, just to my right.
Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon.
We're probably wanted criminals now because we rushed out of there.
We did.
Didn't sign off the check because
we didn't pay.
Four times.
We did. So we're that's it. We scarpered and then we ran across. We galloped across the skywalk.
I just can't believe the pace at which we got back here. You're pretty impressive the way you do that.
Well, I think the thing is, I've been doing that route every day since last Wednesday. I think I've pretty much got it down. Although I do occasionally bounce off the odd door or the odd pillar, and we were very lucky that there was. I think what happened was the crowd really are still in the kind of the meals areas. I think we were probably ahead of most people, even though we thought we were late. So we didn't run into much traffic on the way back, and I think that was part of the reason.
Right. People in past years will be aware who've come to conventions that we've had what they call the quick meals. Mm-hmm. And this year they've really rebranded that, and they've got this thing in the convention centre called the ACB Cafe. which when I first heard of it, I thought they were talking about a stream on ACB Radio.
Yeah, the ACB Cafe, we're hoping to work with that in future years, because I think it'd be great to get some of the music from our blind musicians perhaps pumped into the to the cafe while people are queuing up for their lunch. But we went to the ACB Cafe, and the queue, or the line, as they say in the US, was huge. It just it was coming halfway down the corridor.
So we're back in business.
It does. Ace Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community, now resuming our coverage of the 43rd convention of the American Council of the Blind.
Was left at the Mad Hatter's party last night. The bag includes a Braille and speak, so you can understand that the finder, the owner of that bag, would be very appreciative if it were found. So if you find a Pepsi bag with a Braille and speak, please take it to the information desk.
Hey, Chris, I have the bag. So
you have the bag?
Well, I will in a few minutes. This is Mike Gravett.
Mike Gravett. Have the bag.
Or I will in a few minutes. I know where it is.
Okay.
Who does this
when
go
you,
to again,
when you
please?
Find it, will you bring it to the platform?
Yes.
Okay, very good. That'll be nice.
All right, thank you.
$5 tickets. $5 CDs. $5 CDs of Comedy Night are on sale at the NABS table. $5 CDs of Comedy Night at the NABS table. And the NABS table's on the far right, kind of in the center of the room.
Mr. President?
Yes? Who calls?
This is Marlena Lieber.
Yes, Marlena.
You're saying Pepsi reminded me that if Kim Venable is in the room, or if anyone from RSVA could tell Kim Venable that I would like to speak with her, I'm in room 1629. Thank you.
Kim Venable, if you're in the room, Marlena, who probably is also in the Washington delegation now, would like to talk to you.
Mr.
Okay.
President.
Now,
Mr.
one
President.
More announcement. Yes, who seeks the floor?
Mr. President?
Yes?
This is Carla Rushable.
Yes, Carla.
On Sunday evening at the opening session in the Kentucky delegation, we had brought some books with us for my grandson. They're little sticker books and dot-to-dot books. They're 8.5 by 11, and we haven't found them all week. If anybody has seen them, he would really appreciate them coming back home. So if you've seen them or happen to be carrying them around somewhere, they haven't been turned in. If you just bring them to the Kentucky table, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks. Marlena, I'm told by Terry Pacheco that Kim Venable left yesterday. So, okay, I have one more announcement, which I'll try to repeat at the end of the session. And that is that for life members of ACB, for life members, the reception tonight is in room 1709. Life members, 1709, the President's Suite, as usual. David, are you here? David Trott, are you ready for a door prize?
Mr. President?
Yes?
Excuse me, this is Sharon Strakowski with Lua.
Yes, Sharon.
And I just want to make sure that we get our raffle in this afternoon.
Yes.
Okay. You have it on your agenda?
We'll remind me about that when we're taking some votes, okay?
Okay.
Also, I'd like to say that the Allied Workers raffle will be held this afternoon as well. Allied Workers, we won't forget you. David, how about a door prize?
Okay, I've got my beautiful young assistant back, so I won't read the name wrong. Newt Jones from Washington, $50.
Hey, Newt, are you here?
Where's it from? $50 is from Alabama.
He was hanging around the gift shop earlier. Is he here? No, he's not here.
Not here.
Not here. Try another one.
Teresa Duncan, San Rafael. She's gone, okay.
She's gone, apparently.
So just take her name out entirely.
Cheryl Spencer, Florida.
Cheryl Spencer, are you here? Apparently not.
I got a handful. Ken Loden, Tupelo, Mississippi.
Is he here?
Okay.
Yes, he is here. Yes,
then
he's here.
He gets the 50.
Let's do one more door prize, and then we're going to proceed to business.
Okay, I've got another one of the little gift bags from Alabama and $25, and it goes to... Sharon from Massachusetts, this last name is Strzal.
Okay.
Sharon is here.
She's here.
All right, okay, Sharon, congratulations.
Them's what we didn't
do. All right. May we have order, please? Let's have order. Folks, I hear a lot of noise out there, and it's not easy for me to hear you out there, so I know there isn't order in the house. I'm now going to take up again the point of order raised by Ralph Sanders shortly before we recessed for lunch. The point of order, to remind you, is that the second half of the motion, because the first half is entirely gone, is not something we can work on or that is debatable today. The parliamentarian asked for some time to consider this and to do a bit of research. Parliamentarian is in concurrence with the point of order that the motion falls to the ground as it would be constituted now. The chair so rules, and that will dispense with that amendment entirely.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
this is Ray Campbell, Constitution and Bylaws Committee. I certainly don't want to belabor the point, but I think in retrospect, and thinking about it with a clearer head and some food in my stomach, I think that it was probably incorrect to let the question be divided anyway because they were linked. Having said that, I just wanted to say that. But
well, you could be right, although we didn't know what would happen with the first
part. And I have been wrong before.
Yeah. So you've got a good point there.
So
now, I promised that at this time we would move to elections. I know that people are having a tough time getting back from lunch. What do you say we do one more resolution before we get into elections to be sure that everybody's here? Okay? Jeff, are you here?
I am here.
Very good. I should have asked before I said the resolution. And Kathy Skivers, if you could begin to make your way to a microphone for to repeat your report.
Okay, are we ready for a resolution? Okay. This is American Council of the Blind, Resolution 2004-11. Whereas American citizens possess no right that is more basic, fundamental, and important than that of the right to vote. And whereas the American Council of the Blind, ACB, went on record in Resolution 2003-29, is opposing all efforts to delay purchase of voting machines accessible to persons who are blind or visually impaired, because many of those efforts are based upon highly exaggerated concerns about the security and integrity of ballots cast on direct recording electronic DRE voting systems. And whereas since the adoption of this resolution, these efforts have intensified as public officials have been bombarded with demands for a hard copy or voter verifiable paper ballot, VVP, PB to accompany every ballot cast on DRE machines, and whereas the movement to require a VVPB has led to its adoption in several states and consideration in others, even though the evidence has consistently indicated that DRE systems provide the most secure form of voting and that other systems lead to significantly higher error rates. And whereas the Help America Vote Act of 2002, HAVA, requires that by 2006, every precinct be equipped with at least one voting machine that is accessible to and usable by persons who are blind or vision impaired, which requirement is strengthened by the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, and whereas although technological advancements are being made that could ultimately provide for a hard copy ballot verification, the inclusion of a VVPB requirement for DRE machines will certainly preclude Americans who are blind or vision impaired from having an opportunity to vote privately and independently in the November 2004 elections, and could well have the same impact for years to come. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind that this organization reiterates its opposition to any delays in providing voting systems accessible to and usable by persons who are blind or vision impaired, when such delays are based upon requirements for or consideration of the inclusion of a VVPB requirement for DRE voting systems. And be it further resolved that this organization directs its officers, directors, and staff, and urges its state and local affiliates to take all reasonable actions necessary to bring about the most expeditious implementation of federal requirements that guarantee the right of persons who are blind or visually impaired to vote privately and independently. This was presented by the committee and thus obviously recommended so, and I so move.
It's been moved and seconded.
Mr. Chair.
Calls for the floor. Yes, who rises?
This is Mike Honig from Iowa.
Yes,
Mike. I guess just a point of information regarding the clause that states that research consistently states that the DREs are more secure. I have read so many things from so many different camps that I'd like a bit of clarification to kind of confirm that is in fact an accurate statement.
Well, all I can say in response to that is that although there are a lot of allegations that there could be potential problems with DRAs, and thus it is possible in some future election there will, that most of what has gone on so far with respect to the problems with DRA machines has been caused by other factors.
Thank you.
All right. Any other calls for the floor?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, who's the lady?
It's Karen Gorgie.
Yes, Karen.
It's my understanding, and I know you'll correct me if I'm wrong, that at least one system that we saw demonstrated here, I believe it's the IVS, if I'm not mistaken, it already has the capacity to print. Is that inaccurate?
Well, let me say to this, that this resolution wouldn't preclude the use of such a system. It merely says, to be clear, that we don't want delays in our ability to vote because of the hard copy requirement.
I guess my concern is that there are so many people who we oftentimes might want to ally with, people like the League of Women Voters and others like that, who are supporting the verifiable printed ballot, that if there's a way that we could just simply have the resolution talk about delays and not necessarily link it to that issue, I think I'd be more comfortable with it. And somehow the fact that there is already in existence a system to do the verifiable ballots, somehow I think it would be good if that
Mr. Chairman,
piece of information could become a part of this resolution. It might just help in the way that it's received. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Another lady calling for the floor.
This is Melanie Brunson. Oh.
Yes, Melanie.
I would like to speak to Karen's point by simply saying that Well, for one thing, the League of Women Voters, there are a number of organizations that have discussed this issue. The League of Women Voters actually did not come out in support of the voter verified paper ballot, but notwithstanding that, the difficulty that we're facing with regard to this issue is that while those machines do exist, they are not currently certified. And unless there are dramatic changes in the certification processes, those processes generally take 4 or 5 years. And so because of the fact that we have concerns about the delays that would be caused by the certification, plus the fact that there aren't standards for those systems, we are concerned that the delays would be unnecessarily lengthy if we wait for those machines to be certified. And we certainly don't preclude research into those, or even we don't want to stop folks from getting them certified. We simply want to go ahead with implementation of the Help America Vote Act accessibility provisions.
Mr. President?
Thank you very much, Melanie. The lady who seeks the floor?
This is Artis Bazin.
Yes, Artis?
I've been working extensively with a voting issue in California, and it seems to me like most of the people opposed to this are saying it's e-voting, and it's not e-voting. It's not done through the Internet. It's a separate system, and they also require many, many security measures. And now the state of California, even though they originally said they were not going to use them, they have now certified all the 4 systems in California to be used. And I think as long as they have security processes available, that we should go for this resolution now. And if they want to use the verified paper ballot once they get it certified, you know, that's up to them. But I don't think we want to delay our ability to vote in an accessible manner.
Thank you very much, Artis. Are we prepared to vote? Anybody else for the floor? Hearing no calls, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. All right. Kathy Skivers, are you in the room?
Yes,
Mr.
I am.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm even on the mic.
Mr. Chairman.
You want the nominee report now?
You're recognized.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, someone's calling for the floor.
Yes. Who's calling for the floor?
Ed Bradley from Texas.
Yes, Ed.
During the election that I am appearing on and running for, the alternate delegate of Texas will be casting the vote for Texas, and that's Chris Prentice.
Very well. Thank you. Go ahead, Kathy, with your report.
All right. The finest nominating committee is putting forward the 4... I think I missed that part. I didn't hear myself. It's the finest nominating committee you ever saw. They are putting forth these names for your consideration. As for second vice president, Mitch Pomerantz. For directors, Dr. Ed Bradley, Oral Miller, Becky Floyd, Cynthia Towers, and David Trott. For the Board of Publications, Deanna Quietwater Noriega, Ken Stewart, and Mike Duke. I didn't give all of their occupations because we've done that before and you've heard them in the forum. I want to thank the committee once again, Mr. Chairman, and as always, nominations are available for the floor and I'd be willing to bet we get some.
Thank you very much. I have no doubt, Kathy.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, we're... Who calls for the floor?
This is Chris Prentice.
Yes?
Since I will be serving as the Texas delegate during the elections involving Dr. Bradley...
Yes?
I will relinquish the delegate status to my alternate in the American Association of Visually Impaired Attorneys, to Ellen Telker, for the elections involving Dr. Bradley.
Very well. Thank you. Thank you. We will now proceed to the election of the second vice president of the American Council of the Blind, You have heard the name from the nominating committee, Mitch Pomerantz. Are there other nominations from the floor? Are there other nominations from the floor? And for the third and final time, for the second vice president of ACB, are there other nominations from the floor?
Move to elect.
It's been moved that nominations cease and that Mitch Pomerantz be elected by acclamation. And seconded. All in favor say aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Congratulations, Mitch.
Mr. President.
Mr. Pomerantz.
Ladies and gentlemen, I work very hard for this organization, and I consider it one of the great honors of my life to be elected to this position, particularly unopposed. I hope that I've earned the trust and the faith of both factions, all sides, and I thank you very much, and I will work to earn that trust for the next year. Thank you.
We will now move to the election of directors. I will take the directors in the order of incumbents first and new positions. And the first name to come out in that order is that of from the nominating committee of Dr. Ed Bradley. So Ed Bradley's name is in nomination. Are there other nominations from the floor?
Yes, sir.
Who calls for the floor?
Nola McKinney.
Yes, Nola.
AAVL would unanimously like to put in nomination the name of Teddy Joy Renhill.
Thank you very much. The name of Teddy Joy Renhill is in nomination as well. Are there other nominations from the floor? Are there other nominations from the floor? And for the last time, are there other nominations from the floor for this first director position? It's been moved and seconded. The nomination cease. All in favor say aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Very well. You each have 5 minutes for your presentation. It can be divided in between two people, or quite frankly, if you wanted to divide it into three, I don't think we would care. But typically, we divide it between two people, if you wish. Having said that, Ed, would you state your occupation for us and tell us who your speakers are going to be?
Yes, sir, I will. My name is Dr. Ed Bradley. I'm a practicing chiropractor and been doing that for 26 years in Houston, Texas. My seconding speeches will be first Mr. Carl McCoy from Florida, and my friend from Houston, Texas, Michael Garrett, will give the other one. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Carl, are you at a microphone? And when you get to a microphone, we hadn't discussed this up on the podium before. I guess we better tell you when you're at 2.5 minutes and at 4 minutes. How's that?
I'm here.
Okay, Carl, you're now recognized.
Okay, thank you. And it's a real pleasure for me to provide a nominating speech for Dr. Ed. As you know, he has been a board member for the last 4 years. I have known Ed for a lot longer than that. In fact, I kind of grew up with him. I got ahead of him, I guess, at some point. But He has always been committed to this organization, has always been active in learning, participating in leadership meetings, served on a number of committees, not only nationally, but in his own affiliate and in his own chapter. So he's a longtime supporter and committed to the American Council of the Blind. He is a person that I am confident we can depend on to evaluate the issues and vote what he feels is best, not for Ed Bradley, but for ACB. He is a person who is convinced and knows the membership. He's a part. He's mixed with us. He knows us well. and he has served us well in the last 4 years, and he will continue to be an independent spokesman for the membership of this organization. And I urge you, in view of the successful last 4 years, let's give Dr. Ed Bradley another 4 years on the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. Michael, just hang on before you begin. I want to let you know how much time you have. Okay, Michael, you have about 3.5 minutes, and you're recognized now to speak.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand to also second the nomination of Dr. Ed Bradley. In the inimitable style of the Baptist preacher, let me make 3 points. First of all, service. Doc Bradley has served this organization well, as Carl stated. I think one of the important characteristics of a leader is the willingness to serve. Those of you who know him personally, I'm sure, know him to be one who is always willing to lend a hand. He has served this organization well at all levels, local, state, and at the national level. He was instrumental in Houston in getting our voting, accessible voting passed. And now we can vote independently to a large degree thanks to Doc Bradley's efforts. Secondly, solutions. I believe it is very important to be able to make solutions, to attack problems. I've worked with Doc Bradley on projects and in other organizations over 20-some-odd years and have always known him to be able to come up with solutions to attack problems. May not be the ultimate solution, but at least it opens the way for dialogue. We need that today in ACB. And thirdly, sincerity. I believe that he really loves this organization. Just to listen to him talk, I believe he has a passionate desire to further the causes of and issues that confront us as blind people. So I urge you all, as I will support Dr. Ed Bradley, I urge you all to support him too.
Thank you very much. Teddy Joy, would you please come to the microphone?
I'm here, Mr. President.
And your speakers.
Thank you, Mr. President. My name is Teddy Joy Remhild, and in my work for a county agency, my job title is Community Liaison Coordinator. I do a lot of liaisoning in the community. So my speakers today will be Al Gazagian from Massachusetts, and Abby Vincent from California.
Thank you very much. Al, are you at a mic?
Yes, I am.
All right, you're recognized, and your time begins now.
Okay. I first met Teddy Joy Remhild back in 1995 when she was putting together a committee whose aim was to focus more of the organization's attention, more of ACB's attention on issues and problems being faced by persons who are losing their sight as they age. This committee, which Teddy put together, met for a few years, put on some programs. Then in 1998, we decided to seek affiliate status. In 1999, Teddy Joy appeared before the board in Los Angeles at the winter meeting and got unanimous approval, and I'm told quite a round of applause, on her presentation. On Independence Day of that same year, she accepted from President Edwards the charter for the affiliate, which became known as the Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss. Now, why I go through this history is because I think it exemplifies and demonstrates the qualities that Teddy Joy Remfield has, and I think they are qualities which the board sorely needs. Every board member should have them, and I'm not suggesting people don't, but every board member should have them. And what are they? She has determination. She has communications ability. She has demonstrated a willingness to stand up for what are sometimes unpopular positions. She has demonstrated her advocacy skills. She has shown so many others. And one of the main ones has been her ability to bring people together to reach a common goal. And sometimes they weren't together to begin with, but she has shown that she can do that, and I think that is something we very much need. So, in order to allow her to put these skills to work, I hope that you will seriously consider giving your vote to Teddy Joy Remfield. Thank you.
Abby, you've got about 2 minutes and 20 seconds, so almost half again. And if you're at a microphone?
Yes, I am.
Very well. You're recognized to begin now.
Hey, I am Abby Vincent, and like Teddy Joy, I live in the Southern California area, and I've worked with, alongside of, and even under Teddy in several different occupations. The paratransit system has been very troubled during the time that, you know, Teddy has been involved, and she's worked very hard to acquire all the administrative skills like doing budgets. But more than that, she's always been very responsive to the consumer's needs. She makes a point of seeking out opinions of the riders. And that's also true in her work with local and state California Council of the Blind chapters. She's been president of a chapter and also served on the state board. So she is very strongly demonstrated her commitment and her passion to all the causes that ACV and the general disability rights movement, you know, want. And I'm asking you to join me in voting for her as an ACB board of director.
Very well. Thank you. We will now proceed to the vote. And I would ask all those voting for Dr. Ed Bradley to please stand. Everybody else, be seated. And remember, if you're in a wheelchair and wishing to vote for Ed, turn your badge so that it's facing out, and your vote will be counted even though you're not standing. We've got a couple of raffles this afternoon, and one of the raffles, I believe it's a 50-50 raffle for the Allied Workers Group. Who would represent them to speak at this time? Or is it necessary to wait on that raffle a little bit longer? Okay. We'll wait for you to get to a mic.
Hello. Okay,
good,
I got
afternoon. Tell us your name and where you're from.
Hi, my name is Renee Dix. I'm from Allied Workers for the Blind. And we're going to do our 50-50 drawing now. And I'm going to ask this gentleman, Jesse, from Mississippi, to pull for me.
Okay.
Just one. Okay. 3911.
Ticket number 3911. And do we have a name associated with that ticket?
No, we just have numbers.
Just have numbers. So the person has to be here to win?
Yes.
Okay. Allied Workers raffle ticket is 3911 in the room. We all have a winner. We do.
We have a winner.
Okay. Who is it?
Odell Hollins.
Odell Hollins. Well, how about that?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Allied Workers. If you're doing raffles and so on, I know you're active, and we appreciate that very much. Thank you. Jeff, let's do the library users raffle now as well. Sharon, are you prepared to do that? If there's one thing we all do in ACB, I suspect it's read books. And library users is out there trying to represent us and help us in that regard. I'm pleased to do their raffle this afternoon.
I need somebody up here who does dots to read in case we get one of those. Ah, we have an assistant. Yes. Okay, for Library Users of America drawing, the first prize out will be $100, which will be mailed to you by Pat Price, our treasurer.
All right.
First drawing. And you need not be present to win.
Okay.
Marcia Dresser.
Well,
I believe Marcia's here.
Congratulations, Marcia. All right, you have a second prize?
For our second prize, we have a watch, a $50 value from Rose Resnick Lighthouse for the Blind in San Francisco. The winner may choose a ladies or a men's, and also Braille, large print, or audio. The winner of that is Matt Cooper.
Okay, Matt Cooper, congratulations.
This third prize is for two recorded books. And the winner is? Oh, boy. Can you read it? John Prebarn, Salt Lake City.
John, congratulations from ACB. Thank you very much for that drawing.
No, there are two more.
Oh, two more.
The fourth prize is for a necklace and earring set, value of $50, designed by me, Rachel Ames. And the winner is? Oh, dear. Winifred Downing.
Congratulations, Win.
One last prize is for a $25 gift certificate on any purchase from the National Braille Press in Boston, and I have that certificate. The winner is Barry Levine.
Barry, congratulations. Those voting in favor of Dr. Ed Bradley may be seated. Those voting for Teddy Remhill, please stand. Yes. I've got a door prize at the platform, and I wonder if we can do a door prize drawing now. If I don't do this, I might forget about it and leave it at the platform, which I would sincerely hate to do. It is a royal watch, and it was donated to us by MaxiAids, and they would like me to say to you, thank you, ACB, for allowing us back, and they wanted to make this contribution as a thank you to ACB. So a royal watch. And if the door prize folks can do the names, and then when it's convenient, come up and I'll give you the watch.
Burbank, California, it's Teddy Joy Renhill.
Oh!
Is she here?
Congratulations, Teddy.
Is she here?
Jeff, how about a resolution?
Here. We are going to do 2004-6. Whereas July 2, 2004 marked the 40th anniversary of the signing into law by President Lyndon B. Johnson of the landmark Civil Rights Act of 1964, and whereas the American Council of the Blind, ACB, has a long history of disability rights and more generally civil rights advocacy and coalition efforts and activities. And whereas, for example, during the mid-1970s, ACB was the first organization of people with disabilities to win admittance as a full member to the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights, LCCR, the nation's premier civil rights advocacy organization, coalition. And whereas ACB has also been an active member of such cross-disability, disability rights coalitions as the original American Coalition of Citizens with Disabilities, ACCD, and more recently the Consortium of Citizens with Disabilities, CCD. And whereas through its disability rights and civil rights advocacy and coalition endeavors, ACB has played a significant role in achieving enactment of many pieces of federal disability rights and more generally civil rights legislation, as follows. The Higher Education Act amendments of 1972, which included Title IX of that act, the Equal Employment Enforcement Act of 1972, which broadened and strengthened Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Rehabilitation Amendments of 1973, which included Title V, the Disability Rights Provisions, and especially Section 504, the Education of All Handicapped Children Act of 1975, more recently renamed as the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, IDEA, the Voting Rights Act Extension Amendments of 1982, the Voting Access for the Elderly and Handicapped Act of 1984, the Air Carriers Access Act of 1986, the Rehabilitation Act Amendments of 1986, which included the original Section 508, the Civil Rights Restoration Act of 1988, the Fair Housing Amendments of 1988, which added disability discrimination to the federal housing laws, the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, of 1990, the Civil Rights Restoration Act of 1991, the Family and Medical Leave Act of 1993, the Congressional Accountability Act of 1995, the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which included the Disability Access Provisions of Section 255, the Rehabilitation Act Amendments of 1998, which included and strengthened provisions of the current Section 508, the Transportation Equity Act of the 21st Century, T21, of 1998, which included several important access and anti-discrimination provisions, and most recently, the Help America Vote Act, HAVA, of 2002, which includes important disability access and anti-discrimination provisions. And whereas despite all of ACB's disability rights and civil rights advocacy and coalition efforts outlined above, Americans who are blind, visually impaired, and or otherwise disabled nevertheless continue to be subjected to a wide range of unwarranted and often unlawful discrimination on account of their disability in numerous aspects of their lives, now therefore be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind that this organization, on the milestone occasion of the 40th anniversary of the enactment of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, confirms and rededicates itself to the principles of non-discrimination and fair treatment that have underpinned and guided this organization's disability rights and civil rights advocacy and coalition efforts and activities over many years. And be it further resolved that this organization calls upon and strongly urges its state and local special interest affiliates to also rededicate themselves and their memberships to the goals and objectives of more comprehensive disability rights and civil rights protections under state and federal law. And be it further resolved that this organization directs its officers, directors, and staff to convey the substance of this resolution to our numerous partners in the many and varied disability rights and civil rights coalitions to which this organization proudly belongs. This resolution was written by Charlie Hodge, and the committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
You may be seated. It's been moved and seconded to adopt. Are there any calls for the floor? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. I will now recognize the secretary to call the roll. Donna?
Okay, here we go. Alabama.
Alabama cast 9 for Doc Ed Bradley.
Thank you. 9 for Dr. Bradley. Alaska, 18 votes.
Alaska Independent Blind votes 18 votes. Dr. Edward Bradley.
18, Bradley. Arizona, 7 votes.
Arizona votes 7 votes for Teddy Joy Remhill.
7 for Miss Renhill. Arkansas Council of the Blind, 5 votes.
4 Bradley, 1 Remhill.
4 Bradley, 1 Remhill. California Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
California Council of the Blind casts 6 votes for Remhill, 19 votes for Bradley.
6 Remhill, 19 Bradley. ACB of Colorado, 4 votes.
Colorado votes 3.5 Bradley, 0.5 Remhill.
3.5 Bradley, 0.5 Remhill. D.C. Council of the Blind, 3 votes.
We skipped Delaware.
I'm sorry, Delaware, okay. 1 vote.
Delaware, 1 vote for Remhill.
1 Remhill. Now, D.C. Council of the Blind, 3 votes.
D.C. casts 2 for Bradley and 1 for Remhill.
2 Bradley, 1 Remhill. Florida Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
Florida Council of the Blind casts 17.5 votes for Remhill, 7.5 votes for Bradley.
17.5 Remhill, 7.5 Bradley. Georgia Council of the Blind, 12 votes.
Georgia Council of the Blind casts 11.25 for Dr. Bradley, 0.75 for Teddy Joy Remhill.
11.25 for Bradley, 0.75 Remhill. Hawaii Association, 2 votes.
2 votes, Bradley.
Illinois Council of the Blind, 8 votes.
We're almost here.
Madam Secretary, Illinois casts 8 votes, Bradley.
8, Bradley.
Here's the mic.
ACB of Indiana, 8 votes.
Indiana cast 8 votes, Bradley.
8, Bradley. Iowa Council of the United Blind, 7 votes.
Iowa proudly casted 7 votes for Doc Bradley.
7, Bradley. Bluegrass Council, 4 votes.
Bluegrass Council, 4 votes, Bradley.
4, Bradley. Kentucky Council, 13 votes.
Kentucky Council, 13 votes, Bradley.
13, Bradley. Louisiana Council, 3 votes.
Right here we are.
Louisiana Council, 2 votes, Bradley, 1 vote. I'm sorry.
Michigan, I'm Maryland.
1.75 votes, Bradley. 1.25 votes, Remhill.
1.75, Bradley. 1.25, Remhill. ACB of Maine, 3 votes.
Maine cast 3 votes for Doc Bradley.
3, Bradley. ACB of Maryland, 5 votes.
4.5 for Remhill, 0.5 for Bradley.
4.5 Remhill, 0.5 Bradley. Bay State Council, 14 votes.
Bay State Council, 8 votes for Remhill, 5 for Bradley.
8 and 5 make 13.
I'm sorry, 6 for Bradley.
Thank you. 8 Remhill, 6 Bradley. Michigan Council, 1 vote.
Michigan casts 1 vote, Bradley.
1 Bradley. ACB of Minnesota, 4 votes.
Minnesota, 4 votes, Remhill.
4 Remhill. Mississippi Council, 9 votes.
Mississippi, 9, Bradley.
9, Bradley. Missouri Council, 25 votes.
Missouri, 25, Doc Ed Bradley.
25, Bradley. ACB of Nebraska, 3 votes.
All right, Nebraska, in keeping with Missouri, we're going to go 3 with Bradley.
3, Bradley. Nevada Council, 2 votes.
Nevada, 2, Bradley.
2, Bradley. New Jersey Council, 5 votes.
New Jersey Council, 3.5 votes Bradley, 1.5 votes Teddy Remhild.
3.5 Bradley, 1.5 Remhild. ACB of New Mexico, 2 votes.
ACB of New Mexico, 2 votes, Bradley.
2, Bradley. ACB of New York State, 8 votes.
ACBNY, 4 Remhill, 4 Bradley.
4 Remhill, 4 Bradley. North Carolina Council, 10 votes.
North Carolina, 10 votes, Bradley.
10, Bradley. North Dakota Association, 6 votes.
Madam Secretary, North Dakota casts 6 votes for Bradley.
6, Bradley. ACB of Ohio, 14 votes.
ACB of Ohio, 9 for Bradley, 5 for Remhill.
9, Bradley, 5, Remhill. Oklahoma Council, 25 votes.
Oklahoma Council of the Blind, 25, Dr. Bradley.
25, Bradley. Oregon Council, 11 votes.
Oregon cast 11 votes, Bradley.
11, Bradley. Pennsylvania Council, 25 votes.
Pennsylvania Council, 25 votes, Bradley.
25, Bradley. ACB of South Carolina, 3 votes.
South Carolina, 3 votes, Remhill.
3, Remhill. Tennessee Council, 5 votes.
Tennessee, 5, Bradley.
5, Bradley. ACB of Texas, 10 votes.
Texas proudly cast its 10 votes for our own Dr. Ed Bradley.
10, Bradley. Utah Council, 25 votes.
Utah casts 12.5 for Bradley, 12.5 for Remhill.
12.5, Bradley, 12.5, Remhill. Vermont Council, 3 votes.
Vermont, 3, Remhill.
3, Remhill. Old Dominion, 3 votes.
Madam Secretary, the Old Dominion Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired is proud to cast 2.5 votes for Ed Bradley, 0.5 for Teddy Joy Remhill.
2.5, Bradley, 0.5, Remhill. Virginia Association, 25 votes.
The Virginia Association of the Blind votes 25 votes for Dr. Bradley.
25, Bradley. Washington Council, 13 votes.
Washington Council of the Blind casts 12 votes Bradley, 1 vote Remhill.
12, Bradley, 1 Remhill. Mountain State, 1 vote.
Mountain State, 1 vote, Dr. Bradley.
1, Bradley. Badger Association, 23 votes.
Badger Association, 23 votes, Bradley.
23, Bradley. Alliance on Aging, 4 votes.
Did you say AAVL? Yes. AAVL cast all its 4 votes for our founder, Teddy Joy Remhill.
4, Remhill. Lawyers, 2 votes.
Lawyers cast 1.5 votes for Remhill, 0.5 votes for Bradley.
1.5 Remhill, 0.5 Bradley. Government employees, 1 vote.
1.5 vote for Bradley, 1.5 vote for Remhill.
0.5 Bradley, 0.5 Remhill. Lions, 4 votes.
3 Bradley, 1 Remhill.
3 Bradley, 1 Remhill. Radio Amateurs, 2 votes.
Radio Amateurs, 1 Bradley, 1 Remhill.
1 Bradley, 1 Remhill. B Flag, 2 votes.
B Flag, 2 votes for Ms. Remhill.
2 Remhill. Fitz, 2 votes.
Fitz cast 2 votes for Bradley.
Braille Revival League, 10 votes.
Braille Revival League cast 8 votes for Bradley and 2 for Remhill.
8, Bradley, 2, Remhill. CCLVI, 11 votes.
CCLVI cast 10 votes for Bradley, 1 for Remhill.
10, Bradley, 1, Remhill. Council of Families, 3 votes.
CFBI cast 3 votes for Bradley.
3, Bradley. Friends in Art, 2 votes.
Friends in Art, 2 votes. Teddy Joy, Remhill.
2, Remhill. Guide Dog Users, 25 votes.
Guide Dog Users votes 23, Bradley, 2, Remhill.
23, Bradley, 2, Remhill. Independent Visually Impaired Enterprisers, 4 votes.
3, Remhill, 1, Bradley.
3, Remhill, 1, Bradley. Library Users, 3 votes.
1.5 Bradley, 1.5 Remhill.
1.5 Bradley, 1.5 Remhill. National Alliance of Blind Students, 5 votes.
National Alliance of Blind Students, 1.5 Remhill, 3.5 Bradley.
1.5 Remhill, 3.5 Bradley. National Association of Blind Teachers, 2 votes.
NABT, 1.5 Teddy Joy Remhill, 0.5 Ed Bradley.
1.5
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. 1.5 and 0.5. That's right. 1.5 Remhill, 0.5 Bradley.
Thank you. 1.5 Remhill, 0.5 Bradley. Randolph Shepherd Vendors, 25 votes.
Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America proudly cast 25 votes, Bradley.
25, Bradley. Visually Impaired Veterans of America, 2 votes.
Viva votes 2, Bradley.
2, Bradley. Mr. President, that concludes the roll call.
Thank you very much. We'll now have Jeff present another resolution and give the tallying folks a chance to get the votes tallied for us. Jeff?
Yes. Okay.
Jeff, before you do that, students, would you please come to a mic and tell us your vote again? National Alliance of Blind Students, you get to vote twice, but we'll only count it once.
Are you sure you can't count them twice? That was 1.5 Remhill, 3.5 Bradley.
1.5 Remhill, 3.5 Bradley.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Okay, Jeff, go ahead.
Okay, this is American Council of Blind Resolution 2004-14. Whereas nearly one out of every 6 Americans aged 65 or older is blind or severely visually impaired. And whereas over 50% of people who are blind or visually impaired are seniors. And whereas the blind and visually impaired senior population comprises a large percentage of the clients being served by state rehabilitation agencies. And whereas Title VII, Chapter 2 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 as amended, provides funding to each state for services to the senior blind population. And whereas not only has this program been underfunded since its inception, but the unmet need for services for the senior blind and visually impaired population continues to grow. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind that this organization instructs its officers, directors, and staff to advocate for an increase in federal funding for the Title VII, Chapter 2 program, and be it further resolved that such increased federal funding should be allocated based on the population of each state and indexed according to the cost of living, so long as no state's allocation is reduced below its current 2004 fiscal year levels. This was submitted by the Iowa Council of the Blind. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there discussion?
Who's okay? Someone is calling from the floor. All right, David. I amazingly enough, I actually heard you up here. So
amazing.
Okay.
Hey, people have told me I speak. Sometimes they say I speak too much, but usually they say I speak too softly. So I want to make sure you heard me. I'd like to offer a friendly amendment to this, that instead of using population, we follow the conventions already established in paratransit funding, the population 60 or above, which without such amendment, we will seriously underrepresent retirement states such as Florida.
So you want to say population 60 or above?
Yes.
Jeff?
55.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Melanie and I were just discussing it, and if you have no objection, and if the body doesn't object, 55 or above would probably be more appropriate because that's the population that is actually served.
David, what do you think?
I think that number is just as easy to get. Sounds great.
All right. All right. Is everybody pretty much okay with that? Okay, we'll change the resolution to reflect that wording. Any more discussion on the resolution itself? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. All right, one more resolution, please.
Okay, we will do resolution 2004-12. Whereas each year, we in the United States are privileged to have tens of thousands of immigrants and refugees become U.S. citizens, and whereas the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Service, USCIS, is currently revising and restandardizing the U.S. history, government, and English tests that are administered as part of the naturalization process. And whereas it has come to our attention that several of the revisions in the test materials, as well as preparation materials and administrative procedures, may have a significant adverse impact on the ability of test takers who are blind or vision impaired to do well enough on the tests to receive American citizenship. And whereas this situation may be directly attributable to test questions that include graphics or photographs, inaccessibility of test materials, or revised methods of test administration, now therefore be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind that this organization directs the ACB staff to inform the USCIS about the specialized requirements of test takers with visual impairments for appropriate alternate formats, alternative test administrative procedures, and test questions that relate appropriately to the non-visual experiences of this population. And be it further resolved that ACB collaborate with other blindness organizations as well as the USCIS to assure that the needs of the population of immigrants and refugees who are blind or visually impaired will be taken into consideration when the naturalization tests are revised and restandardized, so that these individuals will have an equal opportunity to participate in the benefits of United States citizenship. Excuse me. This was submitted by Penny Reeder and others, and the committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. We are now prepared to announce the vote. I'll recognize Daryl to do that.
Okay, the vote for Teddy Joy Remhild was 207.5. The vote for Ed Bradley was 750.5. Teddy Joy's percentage
hold
was
on,
21.7. Dr. Ed Bradley's percentage was 78.3.
Congratulations, Ed.
Thank you very much. I want to thank all of you
for this wonderful, wonderful support. And those of you who don't believe that I will listen, try me again. I'll be here for you. Love all of you. Thank you.
We can now move to the next election, and that will be for the next incumbent, Mr. Oral Miller. Oral Miller's name has been placed in nomination by the committee, and I will now ask for nominations, other nominations from the floor. Are there other nominations from the floor? And are there other nominations from the floor?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Carla.
This is Carla Rushable from Kentucky. I would like to move that nominations cease and that a unanimous ballot be placed for our favorite son, Oral Miller.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Motion carries. Oral, are you heading for a mic?
I'm there.
Okay, go ahead.
I begin by thanking one and all for the confidence you've shown in me. And I will mention to you, we're getting a strange ring here. I'll mention to you that, as I have said to many of you in recent days, one of my 3M platform components is money. So I guess I'm saying you may regret having voted for me in the sense that I'm going to be asking many, many of you to sign up on the MMS program, that monthly program, because that's something that's going to help ACB, and eventually there may even be a way it can be used to benefit the affiliate that the donor may suggest, may indicate. Again, thank you so much. These are difficult times, but we are going to come up with the solutions, and we're going to come out of this a bigger, stronger, more effective organization than ever. Thank all of you very much.
Thank you, Oral. The next incumbent position is, and name from the nominating committee, is that of Cynthia Towers. Cynthia being the nominee from the committee, I will now ask, are there other nominations from the floor?
Chairman.
Yes?
I would like to nominate Arlene Cohn.
Very well. The name Arlene Cohn has been placed in nomination. Are there other nominations from the floor? Are there other nominations from the floor? Are there other nominations from the floor? In that case, nominations will cease, and we shall proceed to the election. Cynthia will go first. All those in favor of... What?
Speeches.
Oh, speeches. Oh, for heaven's sakes. I do want to move the agenda, but not that fast. I beg your pardon. Cynthia, if you would come to a microphone, announce your profession, and tell us who your speakers are.
My name is Cynthia Towers. I live in Seattle, Washington, where I'm a 7th grade math teacher at Whitman Middle School in Seattle, Washington. My speakers will be Carla Rushable from Kentucky and Burl Colley from Washington State.
Okay. Carla, are you at a microphone?
I am.
All right. You may begin speaking now.
I rise to second the nomination of Cynthia Towers for the position of director on the board of the American Council of the Blind. Cynthia has served ACB as national secretary from 1995 to 2001, as assistant convention coordinator in the early 90s, and as the convention coordinator from 2002 to the present. Cynthia is the only individual to serve as convention coordinator while not at the same time holding a seat on the board of directors. It is as convention coordinator that I have gotten to know Cynthia, having worked with her on the convention committee for the past 3 years. Since Cynthia joined the board this past February, I've learned some new things about her that I didn't know through the convention committee. One thing is that a smart person is someone who knows what they don't know. And while Cynthia has absolutely no problem stating her opinions, as do many of us, she also has demonstrated the valuable ability to listen and to learn about issues with which she may not be familiar. She is not afraid to admit that she does not know something and to ask for more information and to reserve judgment until she has the facts. Cynthia Towers is not afraid to take a stand, to listen to various opinions, and draw conclusions based on the facts. This is of prime importance in a time when ACB faces many challenges, both internally and externally. Each member of the board of directors brings specific interests and talent to the table. Cynthia Towers has demonstrated an understanding of the need to address issues related to money, fundraising, and controlling of expenditures. As convention coordinator, Cynthia is continuously required to make tough decisions related to those issues of spending and raising money for ACB. She knows firsthand how important it is to seek sponsorships and in-kind contributions and to establish appropriate fee structures for corporate participation in this convention. Such policies, practices, and fee structures can and do raise thousands of dollars for this convention and for ACB. Cynthia Towers knows the importance of good communication. She knows the importance of fellow board members getting to know each other as people and thus building consensus and cohesiveness on the board. In closing, I want to remind you of an old adage. If you want a job done, give it to a busy person. Busy people are doers, movers, and shakers. Cynthia Towers is a busy person. She is a hard worker, a doer, a mover, and a shaker. Yes, she is busy. And yes, she will get the job done. Please give your support to Cynthia Towers and elect her to the ACB Board of Directors for another 4-year term. Thank you.
Okay, Burl, are you in a microphone?
Yes.
What does he have left? You have a minute and 45 seconds left, and okay. You're free to begin now.
Thank you. One of the unique things about Cynthia Towers is that at the age of 18, just as she was graduated from high school, she was employed as a rehabilitation teacher for the Lilac Blind Foundation in Spokane, Washington. And in that capacity, she was exposed and involved and learned a variety of vocational rehabilitation trainings that she used to train blind people and newly blinded people. In that capacity, she also learned Braille and has been, since that time, a long-time advocate of the use of Braille. She got her degree and master's degree from the University of Washington in 1990 when Durwood McDaniel and Oral Miller and others came to the state of Washington to preside over the merger. Cynthia was elected for a 4-year term as the merged organization's first treasurer. After that, in 1994, she took over one of the key programs of the Washington Council of the Blind, and that was its scholarship program. Cynthia has been involved, as Carla mentioned, at the national level. She's also involved in other organizations to show what a doer she is. The NOAA, National Organization Albinism. She is in Toastmasters. I urge you to vote for Cynthia Towers.
Okay, thank you. Arlene Cohen, are you at a microphone?
Yes, I am.
Okay, would you please tell us your profession and who your speakers are?
Okay, my name is Arlene Cohen. I come from Ohio. I have served ACB in Ohio for 18 years, and now I would like to serve you.
No, your profession.
I am a retired elementary school teacher. I taught children both in second grade and children with special needs. My speakers are Ron Fries, First Vice President of Ohio, and NG Wu, President of NABS. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Ron Fries, are you at a mic?
I am now.
Okay, Ron is now at a mic, and you're recognized to begin now.
Arlene is now current president of Ohio. Her term will end this fall. And as she spoke, she is a retired teacher. That will give her time to devote to any committee or program that she would be assigned. She's a hard worker. She's worked on numerous committees in Ohio, including scholarship, convention site, convention program, budget. She's always been a very dedicated and hard worker. Under her presidency, our endowment has now reached $1 million, and our local chapters have grown from 6 to 11. When Arlene took over as president, we had personnel problems in Ohio. Arlene, unfortunately, did not get any help from our immediate past, because it was just that was not going to happen. She took the bull by the horns and solved these problems. Everyone at the table was able to leave that table without a bitter taste in their mouth and feeling they had a fair shake. I believe these kind of skills of negotiating, compromising, and finding viable solutions to problems without alienating people is a very important asset that is needed on the national board to make this organization once again a strong organization like it used to be. Arlene was also instrumental in Cleveland in when she first became involved in ACB in forming the Cleveland chapter. She still does a lot in Cleveland, so she's still active all the way back to the local chapter and the grassroots. I urge you all to vote for Arlene. This is the type of person we need on the national board. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And NG Wu, are you at a microphone?
Yes, I am.
Okay, just a moment. I'm going to find out how much time you have.
Thank you.
You have 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
Good.
You may begin now.
It is an honor to be up here to nominate and to support Arlene Cohen for the Board of Directors of ACB. I started in ACB because of ACB of Ohio, sending me to a national convention in Louisville, Kentucky. And since then, I have served on numerous committees, been active as a leader nationally for youth and for people who are visually impaired as well as other disabilities. So ACB of Ohio was my start, and it was under Arlene's leadership that I served as the student representative to the ACB of Ohio board. The ACB of Ohio gives $13,000 to scholarship winners, and they are encouraged to come to convention to learn about ACB of Ohio and therefore learning about ACB. The board of directors of ACB of Ohio represent the population that is served. We have board members ranging from the age of 20 to the age of 80, and there are 25 members on the board of directors that Arlene oversees. She also has served on numerous committees and is also involved in her community. She, along with being president of ACB, is active in her local chapter. She also has served as a representative to the Regional Transit Authority in Cleveland, Ohio. She has also served on the CAC, which is the Consumer Advisory Council for Rehabilitation Services Commission, and therefore also she has been in court to testify for the rights of those who are visually impaired. Arlene has also been instrumental in making sure that the state of Ohio keeps their Bureau of Services for the Visually Impaired separate from the other entity of Rehabilitation Services Commission. Along with that, Arlene was a special education teacher, so she's very knowledgeable about idea issues and dealing with different legislation for people and children who are not only visually impaired, but children with learning disabilities. She has also served as part of the HAVA committee, the Help America Vote Act committee, and testify on their behalf. Arlene, just remember, her last name is Cohen, and there's three C's that go with it. Remember that Arlene is for communication, compromise, and consensus. She believes that it is good for a board to listen to all of its members so everyone is heard. So therefore, there is open communication for everybody, and everybody comes to the table with their concerns. And with that, there would be compromise and much discussion. And with that compromise, we can come to some kind of consensus. Whether we agree or disagree, we come to some kind of consensus and move the organization ahead. Arlene is known as a peacemaker because everybody leaves the table happy, no matter what the situation is. And she also is objective. No matter what she thinks of you as a person, she could be your best friend, your worst enemy as a person. When she comes to the table, all those issues are left aside, and we look at the issues, and this is the type of leader that ACB needs on the board of directors. So please vote for Arlene Cohen. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think now we can move to those elections. And if those in favor of Cynthia Towers would please rise. We'll begin the counting process. And Jeff, can you do a resolution for us? We'll start a resolution in just a moment.
American Council of the Blind Resolution 2004-15. Whereas it has been widely recognized that the Braille codes in current usage need alterations to increase their applicability to technical expressions, avoid ambiguity, and enhance clarity. And whereas the only code advanced over the last 15 years to accomplish these goals has been the Unified English Braille Code, UEBC. And whereas the International Council on English Braille, ICEB, voted in 2004 that each country could submit to its Braille authority the UEBC as a code for unifying Braille. And whereas the majority of authority of North America, BANA, representatives to ICEB empowered to vote, agreed with this proposal, and whereas no advocate of the code has faced the fact that even so simple a problem as multiplying by two numbers cannot be expressed in a 40-cell Braille line. Does that dog read Braille? That's pretty good. But does he read the Unified English Braille Code is the question. And whereas no transcriber, teacher, student, or user of Braille has extensively studied the difficulties of writing this code, especially technical material, and whereas both the American Council of the Blind and the National Federation of the Blind have adopted at their national conventions strong resolutions opposing this code, now therefore be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind that this organization expresses its profound disappointment with the action taken by BANA and ICUB, and be it further resolved that this organization urges BANA and ICUB to conduct research addressing the problems outlined in this resolution, and be it further resolved that any or excuse me, further resolved that this organization strongly encourages BANA and ICAB to examine other codes before taking a final vote on this important matter. This was presented by the Braille Revival League, and the committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing no calls, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. How about another one, Jeff?
Okay, we're trying to pull one up as we speak. And there it is.
Those voting for Cynthia may be seated. Those voting for Arlene Cohen may stand.
Okay, we have Resolution 2004-16. Whereas the publication of People of Vision, A History of the American Council of the Blind, chronicles the tremendous strides made by blind and visually impaired Americans during the 20th century toward full and active participation in the mainstream of American society. And whereas many dedicated individuals who are blind or visually impaired demonstrated heroic and visionary leadership skill in leading the organization, leading the organized blind movement to overcome obstacles and instill in others a vision of what the future could be. And whereas the blind and visually impaired have benefited by the creation and growth of service programs that have opened new horizons in education, rehabilitation, employment, transportation, and other important service areas. And whereas the 20th century gave rise to the development of the information access era through new dimensions in assistive technologies, which gave individuals who are blind or visually impaired access to an unprecedented amount of information through computers, Braille on demand, access to the World Wide Web, and much more. And whereas blind and visually impaired individuals have achieved success and public acclaim in the arts, the letters, the laws, the sciences, and public service. And whereas the blind and visually impaired have also been the beneficiaries of efforts by sighted men and women who have contributed to every aspect of our lives. And whereas the advancement of the blind and visually impaired into the mainstream of American life has been greatly facilitated by visionary members of the Congress, administrators of government agencies, governors and state legislators, and other state officials. And whereas this record of contribution and accomplishment demonstrates the need for a more complete, permanent, and publicly accessible record of such achievements and contributions, now therefore be it resolved that this organization creates and establishes the Blindness Hall of Fame. And be it further resolved that this organization commits to extending an opportunity for induction into the Blindness Hall of Fame to all worthy persons, regardless of their political affiliation, gender, or religious, ethnic, or racial heritage. And be it further resolved that the Blindness Hall of Fame, with the exception of initial startup costs for telephone, printing, postage, and limited travel expenses, be funded by donations, grants, and awards to the Blindness Hall of Fame Endowment Fund to be established and administered by the ACB Chief Financial Officer. And be it further resolved that the financial development plan for the Blindness Hall of Fame be designed to attract funding that can, wherever practical, be used to complement or supplement expenses of the ACB, particularly for office and staff expense. And be it further resolved that the Blindness Hall of Fame Governance Committee be established to plan for the Blindness Hall of Fame, that this committee's duties to include, but not be limited to, identification of potential funding sources, initial space and staffing requirements, creation of categories of recognition and means of nomination and balloting to ensure selection is based on merit alone, the development of a permanent board of directors for the Blindness Hall of Fame, and any other details related to the creation and operation of the Blindness Hall of Fame, with the sole limitation that the Governance Committee submit and gain approval of the Board of Directors of the American Council of the Blind for any budget for initial expenses that may be sought from ACB. And be it further resolved that the Governing Board of the Blindness Hall of Fame be directly connected to the American Council of the Blind as an associated organization, and be it further resolved that the process of nominating and selecting honorees for the Blindness Hall of Fame be developed and implemented by individuals representing all segments of the blindness community to ensure the integrity of the selection of inductees, and be it further resolved that the Governance Committee shall consist of 7 members to be appointed by the President within 60 days of the adoption of this resolution, including the Executive Director and a member from the leadership of the ACB, and to the extent possible, recognize leaders representing the fields of rehabilitation, nonprofit agencies, education, and technology development. The president shall designate one member to serve as chair. This was submitted by Ralph Sanders. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Question.
It's been moved and seconded.
Question.
Okay. Those who are standing voting for Arlene Cohen may be seated. And now, who's the lady with a question?
Patricia Beatty.
Yes, Pat.
I have a question about what is the name of the Blindness Hall of Fame? Is it the same that was started a couple of years ago at the American Printing House for the Blind in Louisville? Are we duplicating the name?
Pat, I don't think we're duplicating the name. And Jeff, am I correct this is not an uppercase name?
I don't actually have a firm answer to that question, Pat, because I don't know exactly what they call themselves. If we are, we'd obviously have to change the name so as to be not in accord with theirs.
We're certainly aware of the APH activity, and we're not wanting to duplicate its name or step on its toes.
Is the intent here for this to be for people who are blind themselves rather than service providers?
I couldn't hear her question.
Ralph, are you getting to a microphone?
Mr. President.
Just a moment. We need to get Pat's question answered.
I'm here.
To answer it?
I need to answer the question.
Chris, Mr. President.
Yes.
We didn't attempt in this resolution to preclude the development of an appropriate name for the Hall of Fame, nor did we attempt. So the reference to Blindness Hall of Fame is generic. If you heard the whereas clauses, there was also no intent to eliminate sighted folks from potential enrollment if they have contributed significantly to the advancement of blind folks in one of the various categories recognized in the resolution or in the categories to be established in the future. So we weren't attempting to replace anything APH had done or to duplicate, nor were we attempting to, at this point in time, bring about resolution of people who get in or who don't get in, other than to make a commitment through this resolution that we will open it to all people of merit.
This could be a tricky
very well.
Mr. Chairman.
Who calls for the floor?
Karen Gorgie.
Can you pour some?
Yes, Karen.
Unless I missed something, I'd like to know where the funding of this is supposed to come. We have so many budget problems right now, and I thought what we really need is fill the advocacy position and fill the development director position, and I don't know how we can do this. I think the idea could be great, but I don't. It seems to me we have other things we ought to be spending our money on first.
Oh, I'm surprised. Okay.
Mr. President.
Yes.
We recognize the financial problems. We included a whereas that a special endowment would be established by the CFO, and the only funds, we would not divert funds from the ACB and its other existing programs except to the extent of a limited startup budget, which would have to be approved by the Board of Directors. Otherwise, the Hall of Fame project will have to be about the process of raising money to bring itself into existence. One of the rationales for the proposal for the Hall of Fame is that getting money for bricks and mortar, as the saying goes, as opposed to administrative or causal actions, is much easier. We believe that we can raise a substantial amount of money for space and for the structural pieces of a Hall of Fame, and we believe that by so doing, we can alleviate a lot of stress and strain on ACB financials. So rather than this being a drain from existing resources, we will believe it will be the beginning of providing a method of substantial support to the ACB, albeit indirectly.
Very well.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Who's the gentleman who calls for the floor?
Rob Hill.
Yes, Rob.
I would ask whether the proponent of the amendment, in their pointing out various categories which would not be discriminated against, including gender and so forth, would regard sexual orientation as an addition to the list as friendly.
Mr. President.
Just a moment. There has been a question with regard to adding the wording. Do you know where he wants to put it, Jeff? Gender, race,
yes, I do.
Sexual orientation.
Yes, I do. It can be inserted.
Thank you.
There is a lady calling for the floor.
Linda Braithwaite, Salt
yes,
Lake City,
Linda.
Utah.
I have a problem. I don't have a problem with the concept of
right.
this. I have a problem with one more blindness organization out there fundraising. I really have a problem with us becoming fractured to the point where we are ineffective. I have a problem with us. I wish it were ACB having a Hall of Fame and not a whole separate organization. Thank you.
Linda, I think, to be honest, it is ACB, but there's a recognition that there must be a separate structure put in place to make it happen. And I think that's what the resolution says.
Mr. President, and again, we did it that way not to say it wasn't ACB. We did it that way so that we made clear that there wasn't going to be any effort or suggestion of effort to take away money from the ACB given its current financial status in the process of getting it started. I really do believe that if the convention will let this initiate and begin, that it can become a source of funds. It is clearly intended, since it was brought here, will be created here, will be given life here, that it will be part of us forever.
Okay, let's move to the
Mr.
vote.
Mr. Chairman... We were not on. We are now on. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The California Council of the Blind has a Hall of Fame. It's a part of our awards committee structure. The awards committee determines who goes on the Hall of Fame. It doesn't cost us a lot after that, except for the cost of the plaques that are awarded to the people who were put in the heart of Hall of Fame. And the thing that we have inscribed one large tablet that we inscribe and put in our office with everyone's name on from the beginning, but it doesn't have to, I wouldn't think it would have to be a whole separate thing. Why couldn't it become part of an awards thing that we do here?
The answer is it certainly could be as you describe, but by allowing us to move forward with this resolution, it could in fact for ACB be much, much more. And that's not to say anything negative about the California Hall of Fame, but to do something nationally and to do it in the sense of as Ralph termed it, a brick and mortar project, could be of great benefit to ACB in the long term. Okay, now, let's vote on the motion. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Sound like the no.
Well, votes can be close. The chair rules, the ayes have it. And if you guys want to have a roll call about it, we'll do it after the elections. So, what I might do after the election, I might call for the ayes and nays again.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right. We're going now to recognize the secretary to vote on call the roll for the election.
Well, if I'm voting, I'm voting for a break. Alabama, 9 votes.
Alabama, 9 votes. Cynthia Towers.
9 Towers. Alaska Independent Blind, 18 votes.
Alaska Independent Blind, 18 votes. Cynthia Towers.
18 Towers. Arizona Council of the Blind, 7 votes.
Arizona, 7 Towers.
7 Towers. Arkansas Council, 5 votes.
Three Towers, 2 Cohen.
Three Towers, 2 Cohen. California Council of Blind, 25 votes.
19 Towers, 6 Cohen.
19 Towers, 6 Cohen. ACB of Colorado, 4 votes.
Excuse me. Colorado votes, 2 Towers, 2... Oh, shoot, I forgot who the other person was. Cohen. I had a little brain fart there, sorry.
2 Towers, 2 Cohen. Delaware, 1 vote.
Delaware, 1 vote for Towers.
1 Towers. D.C. Council, 2 votes.
D.C., 3 for Towers.
I'm sorry, 3. You're right. 3 Towers. Florida Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
Florida Council of the Blind casts 20 votes for Cohen, 5 votes for Towers.
20 Cohen, 5 Towers. Georgia Council of the Blind, 12 votes.
Georgia Council of the Blind cast all 12 votes for Cynthia Towers.
12 Towers. Hawaii Association, 2 votes.
Hawaii cast 2 votes for Cynthia Towers.
2 Towers. Illinois, 8 votes.
Madam Secretary, Illinois casts 7 votes Towers, 1 vote Cohen.
7 Towers, 1 Cohen. ACB of Indiana, 8 votes.
Indiana votes 2 Towers, 6 Cohen.
2 Towers, 6 Cohen. Iowa Council of the United Blind, 7 votes.
Iowa casts 3.5 Towers, 3.5 Cohen.
3.5 Towers, 3.5 Cohen. Bluegrass, 4 votes.
Bluegrass, 4 Towers.
4 Towers. Kentucky, 13 votes.
Kentucky Council of the Blind, 13 votes, Towers.
13 Towers. Louisiana Council, 3 votes.
Louisiana Council of the Blind cast 3 Cohen.
3 Cohen. ACB of Maine, 3 votes.
Maine goes 1.5 Towers, 1.5 Cohen.
1.5 Towers, 1.5 Cohen. ACB of Maryland, 5 votes.
Maryland is 4.5 Cohen, 0.5 Towers.
4.5 Cohen, 0.5 Towers. Bay State Council, 14 votes.
Bay State votes 10.5 for Cohen, 3.5 for Towers.
10.5 Cohen, 3.5 Towers. Michigan Council, 1 vote.
Michigan cast 0.5 votes for Cohen, 0.5 vote for Towers.
0.5 Cohen, 0.5 Towers. ACB of Minnesota, 4 votes.
Minnesota, 4 votes, Cohen.
4 Cohen. Mississippi Council, 9 votes.
Mississippi cast 8.5 for Towers, 0.5 Cohen.
8.5 Towers, 0.5 Cohen. Missouri Council, 25 votes.
Missouri, 25 Towers.
25 Towers. ACB of Nebraska, 3 votes.
Nebraska, 2.5 Towers, 0.5 Cohen.
2.5 Towers, 0.5 Cohen. Nevada Council, 2 votes.
Nevada Council, 2 votes for Towers.
2 Towers. New Jersey Council, 5 votes.
New Jersey Council, 1.5 votes Towers, 3.5 votes Cohen.
1.5 Towers, 3.5 Cohen. ACB of New Mexico, 2 votes.
ACB of New Mexico, 2 votes, Towers.
2 Towers. ACB of New York State, 8 votes.
ACBNY, Cohen, 4, Towers, 4.
4 votes, Cohen, 4 votes, Towers. North Carolina Council, 10 votes.
North Carolina, 10 votes, Towers.
10 Towers. North Dakota Association, 6 votes.
North Dakota votes 3 votes for Towers, 3 votes for Cohen.
3 Towers, 3 Cohen. ACB of Ohio, 14 votes.
ACB of Ohio, 2 Towers, 12 Cohen.
2 Towers, 12 Cohen. Oklahoma Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
Oklahoma Council of the Blind, 15 Towers, 10 Cohen.
15 Towers, 10 Cohen. Oregon Council, 11 votes.
Oregon votes, 11 Cohen.
11 Cohen. Pennsylvania Council, 25 votes.
Pennsylvania Council of the Blind, 24 Towers, 1 Cohen.
24 Towers, 1 Cohen. ACB of South Carolina, 3 votes.
South Carolina votes, 3 votes, Cohen.
3 Cohen. Tennessee Council, 5 votes.
Tennessee cast 2.25 Towers, 2.75 Cohen.
2.25 Towers, 2.75 Cohen. ACB of Texas, 10 votes.
ACB of Texas cast 2 votes for Cohen and 8 votes for Towers.
2 Cohen, 8 Towers. Utah Council, 25 votes.
Utah Council casts 18.75 Towers, 6.25 Cohen.
18.75 Towers, 6.25 Cohen. Vermont Council, 3 votes.
Vermont, 3 votes for Towers.
3 Towers. Old Dominion, 3 votes.
Old Dominion Council of Blind and Visually Impaired cast 1.5 votes for Cynthia Towers and 1.5 votes for Arlene Cohen.
1.5 Towers, 1.5 Cohen. Virginia Association, 25 votes.
The Virginia Association of the Blind cast all 25 votes for Cynthia Towers.
25 Towers. Washington Council of the Blind, 13 votes.
Washington votes 10.5 Towers, 2.5 Cohen.
10.5 Towers, 2.5 Cohen. Mountain State, 1 vote. Not here?
Just try and get to a mic.
Okay.
Mountain State, 1 vote. Cynthia Towers.
1 Towers. Badger Association, 23 votes.
Badger Association, 23 votes. Towers.
23 Towers. Alliance on Aging, 4 votes.
The Alliance on Aging cast all 4 votes for Cohen.
4 Cohen. Lawyers, 2 votes.
The American Association of Visually Impaired Attorneys cast 1.25 for Towers and 0.75 for Cohen.
1.25 Towers, 0.75 Cohen. Government employees, 1 vote.
Government employees, 1 vote, Towers.
1 Towers. Lions, 4 votes.
3 Towers, 1 Cohen.
3 Towers, 1 Cohen. Radio Amateurs, 2 votes.
Radio Amateurs, 1 Towers, 1 Cohen.
1 Towers, 1 Cohen. B Flag, 2 votes.
B Flag, 2 for Cohen.
2 Cohen. Bits, 2 votes.
Bits cast 2 votes, Towers.
2 Towers. Braille Revival League, 10 votes.
Braille Revival League will cast 6 votes for Arlene Cohen and 4 for Towers.
6 Cohen, 4 Towers. CCLVI, 11 votes.
CCLVI cast 4 votes for Towers, 7 votes for Cohen.
4 Towers, 7 Cohen. Council of Families, 3 votes.
3 votes, Towers.
3 votes, Towers. Friends in Art, 2 votes.
Friends in Art, 2 votes, Arlene Cohen.
2, Cohen. Guide Dog Users, 25 votes.
Guide Dog Users votes, 20, Cohen, 5, Towers.
20 Cohen, 5 Towers. Independent Visually Impaired Enterprisers, Ivy, 4 votes. Is someone getting to a mic?
She's getting to a mic.
Okay.
Sorry, the delegate didn't tell me she was leaving.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Ivy votes, 4 votes for Towers.
4 Towers. Library users, 3 votes.
1.5 Towers, 1.5 Cohen.
1.5 Towers, 1.5 Cohen. National Alliance of Blind Students, 5 votes.
National Alliance of Blind Students, 0.5 Towers, 4.5 Cohen.
0.5 Towers, 4.5 Cohen. National Association of Blind Teachers, 2 votes.
NABT, 1 Towers, 1 Cohen.
1 Towers, 1 Cohen. Randolph Shepherd Vendors, 25 votes.
RSVA, 24 votes Towers, 1 vote Cohen.
24 Towers, 1 Cohen. Viva, 2 votes.
Visually Impaired Veterans of America vote, 2 Cohen.
2 Cohen. Mr. President, that concludes the roll call.
Thank you very much. David, how about a door prize?
Okay, this is $50 from the Alabama chapter. Mark Detchen, Missouri. Mark Detchen. A goodie bag and $25. Arthur Schreiber, New Mexico.
$25.
Arthur Schreiber, New Mexico. You must not be here, okay? I got another name here. Yeah, that's all right. Leo Healy from Georgia.
Not here.
Not here, eh? Okay.
Iris Edwards from Virginia.
Ah, got one. Got one.
You want some more, Chris?
Do one more.
One more.
Come on. Goodie bag and 25.
Oh, okay. This is Vermont Syrup. Scott Hooker from Georgia.
Scott, are you here?
Not here?
Okay.
Don Brown from Richmond, Virginia.
No, I guess he's not here either.
How about Ron Eller from Houston, Hudson, North Carolina?
Ron, I'll bet he's here. Are you here, Ron? All right, great. Okay, should we do another resolution?
All right,
Jeff, let's have another resolution.
Mr. President?
Who calls for the floor?
Vicki Flake. Were we going to make a final decision on the Hall of Fame resolution?
Well, the chair ruled the resolution passed.
I thought you said that you would do another vote because there were so many people asking for a roll call.
Well, I talked with the parliamentarian about that, and he indicated that there was actually no one going for microphones, and there didn't seem to be a lot of activity out in the audience. If you really want to do this, we can. What I think we ought to do, and what we discussed up here, is you can do a motion to reconsider, and if you do that and that motion passes, at least one of the questions was really debate on the resolution, and we will go then to the procedure of five in favor and five against, and go to a vote. If you feel that's important to do, then I would now accept a motion for reconsideration. Okay. I heard a so moved out there. I did not hear a second. All right. Okay, so the motion on the floor, the motion on the floor is to reconsider. Now understand what the reconsideration entails. We will now go to a vote on the motion to reconsider. All in favor say aye. Opposed say nay. Motion's defeated. We're prepared with the vote on the election. Daryl?
This will be for the second director's position that was contested. For Arlene Cohen, 325.75 votes. 325.75 votes. For Cynthia Tower, 646.25. Arlene Cohen's percentage is 33.5. Cynthia Tower's percentage is 66.5.
Mr. President.
Congratulations, Cynthia. You're recognized.
On the front of your programs, it says TEAM, together everyone accomplishes more. I am proud to be elected to this board that will begin getting back to the business of making the lives of the nations and the world's blind a better place. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cynthia. We will now move to the next election, and that will be for the seat currently held by David Trott. David Trott is the nominee of the Nominations Committee, and I will now open the floor for other nominations.
President.
Who calls for the floor?
This is Ron Freese. I'd like to nominate Arlene Cohen.
Very well. The name Arlene Cohen has been placed in nomination. Are there other nominations from the floor?
Mr. President?
Yes.
Hank Pierce. I'd like to not put in the name for nomination of Naomi Sewell.
The name Naomi Sewell is now placed in nominations. Are there other nominations from the floor? Are there other nominations from the floor? And a third and final time, are there other nominations from the floor? In that case, we will close nominations and proceed to the speakers.
Okay, I have two speakers.
Naomi, just
yes.
A moment.
I'm sorry.
The
That's all right.
Nominations committee person will go first, but we won't forget you. And David Trott, are you at a microphone?
Yes, I am.
I'm tired.
Please tell us what you do and who your speakers will be.
I'm David Trott. I'm president of the Alabama Council of the Blind. I'm a blind vendor. And my nominating speakers will be Ron Eller, who is a retired federal employee and a blind vendor, and the president of the North Carolina chapter, and Mr. Billy Spartman, the manager of the Alabama Industries for the Blind and a member of the National Industries for the Blind Board.
Very good. Thank you very much. Ron, are you at a microphone?
Yes.
All right. You're now recognized to begin.
Fellow ACB members, today I rise to ask for your support for David Trott, who is seeking a seat on the board of directors of the American Council of the Blind. David has been a member of the American Council for the Blind since 1978. David attended the Alabama School for the Blind and is currently a member, an active member of the Alumni Association. David attended Garden State Community College and the University of Alabama at Birmingham. David holds an associate degree in business. David has worked most of his career in the Business Enterprise Program for the Blind. In his earlier career, he worked in the private sector with the Radio Shack and also as a marketing consultant for a large automobile dealership in Talladega. David has been active in advocating for blind people throughout the state of Alabama on many issues. He also has worked in his community as a leader in advocating for public transportation issues, pedestrian safety, and education, and voter accessible voting. David has pledged, if he is elected to the board seat, to work for a balanced budget, to increase the revenues of the American Council of the Blind, and to bring back 12 issues of the Braille form. In 2002, I was invited to the Alabama Council of the Blind State Convention as an information-seeking trip, where David had informed me that there would be a good turnout of blind members and also a lot of state employees. To my surprise, there were 45 state employees that attended David's convention. David and I have had the opportunity to swap many ideas on fundraising between the state of North Carolina. David developed his own website for the Alabama Council of the Blind, also helped North Carolina develop their website. David has served on advisory committees for the Alabama Institute for the Deaf Blind and Alabama Rehabilitation Services.
Two minutes left.
Some of the members, as well as myself, feel that the American Council of the Blind is at a crossroads of success or failure. We can continue to bicker amongst ourselves and dwell on past issues, or we can move forward. David thinks we should move forward, work together, and with your help, David will accomplish these goals.
Okay, Bill, you've got a minute and 15 seconds. Are you at a mic?
I am.
All right, take it away.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am Billy Sparkman, the Executive Director of Alabama Industries for the Blind. And throughout my career, it's been my honor to serve on a number of boards, and I've observed characteristics that I think are important for board members. Four of those characteristics are possessing a thorough knowledge of the organization and the issues facing it. Second, the ability and willingness to express opinions, but to refrain from talking just to be talking. Three, being steadfast in serving the organization and not just holding a position when it is convenient. And last, number four, a lasting commitment to the values and vision of the program. David Trott has proven to me that he possesses these qualities as well as the personal integrity and honesty required to serve in a leadership role. I have worked directly with David, observing his commitment to the Alabama chapter of ACB and to our local Talladega chapter, and his leadership and tireless efforts on behalf of ACB have impressed me also. I've also noted his excellent work ethic in conducting his BEP operations and know that he applies the same high standard of performance to his personal and civic activities. Also, David and his wife Rhonda work behind the scenes many times when people are not aware of their activities in supporting the AIDB Transitional Weekend, where they serve as speakers and role models for the students preparing for college and careers. They provide entertainment through their karaoke program for the Alabama School for the Blind summer camps and school parties, as well as other ASB functions. David has served as treasurer of the ASB Alumni Association, and in his role as president of the Alabama ACB chapter, he has worked closely with Alabama Institute for Deaf and Blind as a chief advocate. I ask you to join me in supporting the nomination of David Trott for National Board Member. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, Naomi, tell us what you do and who your speakers will be.
Okay, I'm Naomi Sewell. I'm a district supervisor for Rehabilitation Services for the Blind in Missouri. And my first speaker will be Valerie Stannard from Missouri, and Jeff Tom from California will be my second speaker.
Okay. Valerie, are you at a microphone?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You are now recognized to speak.
After hearing for years about the work of Naomi Sewell on behalf of blind people in the state of Missouri, as well as about her work on a national level for ACB, which is how I also got started, I finally met Naomi in 2000 at the Louisville Convention. Actually, it was through our connection, a mutual connection in the scholarship committees where we met. As many of you know from having served on a variety of committees with Naomi, her enthusiasm and dedication to this organization are boundless. I've watched her personally and professionally over the last 4 years, since Kansas City and St. Louis are such a short distance apart, and I know there's no advocacy issue which she would not tackle either by herself or as a team member. During her past employment with IBM, she gained valuable knowledge of human resources management and development, a skill we all know would be useful on our board. Through her current employment as a supervisor for the Missouri Rehabilitation Services for the Blind, she seeks to better the lives of blind people in our state on a daily basis. It should be noted that this is not an easy project because in Missouri, as in many other states, there are constant roadmaps put up by another organization who wishes to seek control of rehab services at every level of every step of the way. Further, Naomi would bring fundraising experience to the board. Recently, she was elected to the board of directors for the Radio Reading Services of St. Louis. She was directly responsible for a fundraising gala, their biggest event of the year. This year, their funds increased by 10 times what they were last year. Naomi is a great resource due to her natural ability to network, which is why so many of you already know who she is and at least one thing she's done, if not more. Her skills and experience will be of extreme importance both to ACB's future public relations and to its fundraising efforts. She can stand strong alone when it's necessary, and she can stand equally strong as an integral part of a team. That's why I encourage you to vote for Naomi. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Jeff, you've got about 2.5 minutes.
Okay. The next 2 years are pivotal for the American Council of the Blind. Serious financial concerns, factions that have created severe divisiveness within our organization, and other internal issues are weighing heavily upon us. As many have said, however, ACB has weathered similar storms in its past. Just as in the past, when ACB members used wisdom in electing outstanding leaders who moved us forward, we must use similar wisdom today. It is for this reason that I urge you to vote for Naomi Sewell. Naomi, like you, seeks the betterment of people who are blind or visually impaired and knows that a strong ACB is the only way to achieve it. She is a problem solver who will work to improve ACB internally so that we can spend our time on the real issues faced by people who are blind or visually impaired on a daily basis, such as transportation and informed choice, for which Naomi has fought so hard. Naomi has one agenda, assuring that ACB realizes its full potential. Naomi Sewell is fiercely independent, but she has always been a consensus builder, and there is nothing we need more than someone who will make this board a truly positive force. Naomi is the type of no-nonsense problem solver that we must have if we are to overcome the obstacles facing us. Ask yourself this question: what other candidate has the combination of experience in technology, services for people who are blind or visually impaired, fundraising, and management? If your answer, like mine, is Naomi Sewell, then I urge you to elect her to the ACB Board of Directors. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff. Arlene, you are certainly entitled to have two speakers this time as you did before. Different candidates in different years have chosen to and not to. What do you want to do?
Two speakers that I had previously, I think, spoke for me, so I won't take up your time with two other ones. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. We will now then proceed to a vote, and will all those voting for David Trott please rise? Jeff, how about a resolution?
Okay. I have one here. This is one that when I read a little bit of it, those of you, many of you in ACB will know that Al Gill would certainly like this resolution. This is 2004-17. Whereas for many years, Greyhound Lines, Inc. has provided a vital and affordable transportation service for persons with disabilities, including those who are blind or vision impaired. And whereas this service is especially important to residents of suburban and rural America, as well as those who live in smaller metropolitan areas. And whereas Greyhound Lines, Inc. has recently announced that, during the second half of 2004, service to many smaller communities will be eliminated. And whereas these service cuts will create severe hardships for persons who are blind or visually impaired, and others who rely on Greyhound bus service as their main source of both intrastate and interstate transportation. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind that this organization calls upon Greyhound Lines, Inc., the federal government, and other appropriate parties to work together to maintain over-the-road bus services to all communities currently served by that company. And be it further resolved that this organization send copies of this resolution to Greyhound Lines, Inc., the Secretary of Transportation, and the chairs of the House and Senate committees having jurisdiction over transportation legislation. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move. And I apologize if I take a point of personal privilege for a moment. I apologize to the maker. To the sponsor of this resolution, who is not here. Somehow his name is not in the file, and so I can't give him the credit he deserves. But Bob Hashi, thank you very much.
Okay, you've heard the motion. I think I heard a second. Now I know I heard several. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Next, Jeff.
Okay. Sticking to transportation on Resolution 2004-18. Whereas access to transportation is essential to enable people with disabilities, including those who are blind or visually impaired, to live full lives as independently as possible in their communities, and whereas the lack of public transit precludes many persons who are blind or visually impaired from reaching their academic, employment, or other independent living goals, and often creates a situation where such individuals rarely leave their own homes, and whereas when traveling, Americans who are blind or visually impaired often face barriers and challenges related to the environment, infrastructure, and uninformed personnel that alone and in combination severely limit their mobility. And whereas the availability of accessible transportation for people with disabilities is established as a civil right in the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, now therefore be it resolved.
Jeff, before you do the resolve, those who were voting for David may sit. We will next ask people voting for Naomi to stand. Sorry, Jeff, go ahead with the results.
That this organization join with other stakeholders in advocating for the expansion of safe, accessible, and affordable transportation for people who are blind or visually impaired. This was presented to us by Easter Seals, and I recommend and the committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there discussion on the motion?
Actually, I must change that because it has to come from a member, and it did actually, in order to be, and it came from Donna Smith.
Okay. Yep, it has been seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries.
Mr. President.
Yes, who seeks the floor?
This is Carol Ewing from Nevada.
Carol.
Could I just make an announcement?
Sure.
Okay. Whereas the ACB is in Las Vegas in 2005, and Cynthia announced yesterday that the room rates are in effect from June 24th through July 13th, and whereas the convention is from July 2nd to July the 9th, we want you to come early and stay late. We have brought a brochure from the Las Vegas Convention Authority, which provides lots of information for the area, and they're on the convention desk. Would you be kind enough to take one or a dozen or however many you need to promote the ACB in Las Vegas in 2005? Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Okay, Jeff, can you do another resolution?
Okay, although it's a little harder to read like this, but I will do my best.
Oh, so, before you start, you may sit down. Those of you voting for Naomi may sit down. And those wishing to vote for Arlene Cohen, please rise.
This is American Council of the Blind Resolution 2004-19. Whereas the American Council of the Blind, ACB, has affirmed its support for full funding of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, IDEA, as well as the Instructional Materials Accessibility Amendments to improve opportunities and services for children who are blind or visually impaired. And whereas many of the provisions of both the Senate and House versions of the IDEA reauthorization legislation violate the core principles of that law. Now, therefore, be it resolved that when advocating for the reauthorization of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, the American Council of the Blind will only endorse legislation that upholds each of the following basic core principles. 1. A free, appropriate public education for each child with a disability. 2. Appropriate evaluation leading to appropriate placement. 3. An individualized education program, including short-term and long-term goals derived from collaboration among educators, assessment specialists, family members, caregivers, and disabled children themselves. 4. The most appropriate setting to meet a child's needs at any given time. 5. Parent and student participation in decision-making. 6. Procedural safeguards, including due process. And 7. Equal access to all instructional materials. And be it further resolved that this organization advocates strenuously against all House and Senate IDEA reauthorization provisions that would limit substantive and procedural safeguards for children with disabilities and their parents. And be it further resolved that this organization urges other organizations and groups to join us in supporting the goals and principles of this resolution. This resolution came to us from Penny Reeder. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Carry on, Jeff, if you wish.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
Are we done?
Jeff, no. Okay. I take it all back.
Good.
You may be seated. What's that, Patty? And we will now proceed to call the roll. So I'll turn the mic over to Donna Seliger.
Okay, Alabama Council of the Blind, 9 votes.
Alabama, 9, Trot.
9, Trot. Alaska Independent Blind, 18 votes.
Alaska Independent Blind, 18 votes, David Trot.
18, Trot. Arizona Council, 7 votes.
Arizona, 7, Naomi Sewell.
7, Sewell. Arkansas Council, 5 votes.
Arkansas, 2.5 for Trot, 2.5 for Cohen.
2.5 Trot, 2.5 Cohen. California Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
California Council of the Blind cast 7 votes, 17 votes for Naomi Sewell, 4 votes for Cohen, and 4 votes for Trot.
That's right.
17, Sewell, 4, Cohen, 4, Trot. ACB of Colorado, 4 votes.
Colorado votes. 2, David Trot. 1, Naomi Sewell. 1, Arlene Cohen.
2, Trot. 1, Sewell. 1, Cohen. Delaware, 1 vote.
Delaware, 1 vote. Naomi Sewell.
1, Sewell. D.C. Council, 3 votes.
D.C. Council, 1.5 for Trot and 1.5 for Sewell.
1.5 Trot, 1.5 Sewell. Florida Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
Florida Council of the Blind cast 18 votes for Naomi Sewell, 7 votes for David Trot.
18 Sewell, 7 Trot. Georgia Council, 12 votes.
Georgia Council of the Blind cast 10 votes, Trot, 2, Sewell.
10, Trot, 2, Sewell. Hawaii Association, 2 votes.
2 votes, Sewell.
2, Sewell.
Here we go.
Illinois Council, 8 votes.
Madam Secretary, Illinois casts 4 votes, Trot,
3 votes Sewell, 1 abstention.
That makes sense.
Okay, 4 votes Trott, 3 Sewell, 1 abstention. Is that
that's
correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. ACB of Indiana, 8 votes.
Indiana votes 5, Cone, 2, Sewell, 1, Trott.
5, Cohen, 2, Sewell, 1, Trott. Iowa Council, United Blind, 7 votes.
Iowa cast 6, Sewell, 1, Cohen.
6, Sewell, 1, Cohen. Bluegrass, 4 votes.
Bluegrass, 4, Trott.
4, Trott. Kentucky, 13 votes.
Kentucky Council, 13 votes. David Trott.
13, Trott. Louisiana Council, 3 votes.
Louisiana, 1, Trott. 1 and 3/4, Sewell. And 1/4, Cohen.
Okay, 1 Trott, 1.75 Sewell, 0.25 Cohen. Is that correct? ACB of Maine, 3 votes.
ACB of Maine likes to share 1 Trott, 1 Sewell, and 1 Cohen.
1 Trott, 1 Sewell, 1 Cohen. ACB of Maryland, 5 votes.
5 votes, Cohen.
5, Cohen. Bay State Council, 14 votes.
Bay State Council, 13.5 for Cohen, 0.5 for Sewell.
13.5, Cohen, 0.5, Sewell. Michigan Council, 1 vote.
Michigan cast 0.25 votes for Sewell, 0.25 votes for Trott, and 0.5 votes for Cohen.
0.25 Sewell, 0.25 Trott, 0.5 Cohen. ACB of Minnesota, 4 votes.
Minnesota, 4 votes, Sewell.
4, Sewell. Mississippi Council, 9 votes.
Mississippi is 3 for Trott, 1.5 Sewell, and 4.5 Cohen.
3 Trott, 1.5 Sewell, 4.5 Cohen. Missouri Council, 25 votes.
Missouri, 25, David Trott.
25 Trott. ACB of Nebraska, 3 votes.
Nebraska doesn't like to share 3 votes for Sewell.
3 Sewell. Nevada, 2 votes.
Nevada, 2 votes, Trott.
2, Trott. New Jersey Council, 5 votes.
New Jersey, 5 votes, Sewell.
5, Sewell. ACB of New Mexico, 2 votes.
ACB of New Mexico, 2 votes, Cohen.
2, Cohen. ACB of New York State, 8 votes.
ACBNY, 2.7 Trott to 1.3 Sewell and 4 Cohen.
No, we can't do that. I'm sorry. You've got to cast your votes at least in quarters. It's been a long-standing rule.
Okay.
2.75.
So New York, please.
2.75 Trott.
Okay, 2.75 Trott.
1.25
Sewell.
And 4.
And 4 for Cohen.
Okay. Can you repeat that again? You need to repeat it? Do you have it, Daryl?
2.75 Trott,
1.25
Sewell, and 4 for Cohen.
Thank you. Okay. ACB, where are we?
Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina, 10 votes.
10 votes, trot.
10, trot. North Dakota Association, 6 votes.
North Dakota cast 6 votes for David Trot.
6, trot. ACB of Ohio, 14 votes.
ACB of Ohio, 3 Sewell, 11 Cohen.
3 Sewell, 11 Cohen. Oklahoma Council, 25 votes.
Oklahoma Council, 12.5 Cohen, 12.5 Trot.
12.5 Cohen, 12.5 Trot. Oregon Council, 11 votes.
Oregon cast 11 votes for David Trot.
11 Trot. Pennsylvania Council, 25 votes.
Pennsylvania Council, 25 votes for Cohen.
25 Cohen. ACB of South Carolina, 3 votes.
ACB of South Carolina, 2 Cohen, 1 Sewell.
2 Cohen, 1 Sewell. Tennessee Council, 5 votes.
Tennessee, 2.25 Sewell, 2.75 Cohen.
2.25 Sewell, 2.75 Cohen. ACB of Texas, 10 votes.
ACB of Texas cast 6 votes for David Trot, 3 votes for Arlene Cohen, and 1 vote for Sewell.
6, Trot, 3, Cohen, 1, Sewell. Utah Council, 25 votes.
Utah cast 25 votes for Naomi Sewell.
25, Sewell. Vermont Council, 3 votes.
Vermont Council of the Blind, 3 for Sewell.
3, Sewell. Old Dominion, 3 votes.
The Old Dominion Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired cast 1.5 votes for David Trot, 1.5 votes for Arlene Cohen.
1.5 Trot, 1.5 Cohen. Virginia Association, 25 votes.
The Virginia Association of the Blind votes 25 times for Trot.
25 Trot. Washington Council, 13 votes.
Washington Council of the Blind cast 7.5 for Trot, 3.25 for Sewell, and 2.25 for Cohen.
Oh, you lost me. 7.75 for Trot. Is that right?
7.5
for Trot. Oh,
7.5.
Excuse me. Okay, Daryl, did you get... Okay, give me the rest of it again.
7.5 for Trot,
right.
3.25 for Sewell,
right.
2.25 for Cohen.
Okay, we've got it now. Okay. Mountain State, 1 vote.
Mountain State, 1 vote. Sorry about that. Mountain State, 1 vote, David Trot.
One Trot. Okay. Badger Association, 23 votes.
Okay, there you go. All right.
Badger Association, 23 for Sewell.
23 Sewell. Alliance on Aging, 4 votes.
4 votes for Cohn.
4 votes, Cohen. I haven't gotten your attorneys. 2 votes.
We cast 1 for David Trot and 1 for Naomi Sewell.
1 Trot, 1 Sewell. Government employees, 1 vote.
One half vote Trot, one half vote Sewell.
0.5 Trot, 0.5 Sewell. Lions, 4 votes.
3 Trot, 1 Cohen.
3 Trot, 1 Cohen. Radio Amateurs, 2 votes.
Radio Amateurs, 1 vote. Trot, 1 Sewell.
1 Trot, 1 Sewell. B-Flag, 2 votes.
B-Flag, 2 votes for Cohen.
2, Cohen. Bits, 2 votes.
Bits cast 2 votes, Sewell.
2, Sewell. Braille Revival League, 10 votes.
Braille Revival League votes 8 for Sewell and 2 for Cohen.
8, Sewell, 2, Cohen. CCLVI, 11 votes.
CCLVI cast 3 votes for Trot, 8 votes for Cohen.
3, Trot, 8, Cohen. Council of Families, 3 votes.
3 votes, Trot.
3, Trot. Friends in Art, 2 votes.
Friends in Art, 0.5 votes, Arlene Cohen. 1.5 votes, Naomi Sewell.
0.5 Cohen, 1.5 Sewell. Guide dog users, 25 votes.
Guide dog users votes 20 votes, Sewell, 4.5 Cohen, 0.5 Trot.
20 Sewell, right?
Yes.
0.5.
No, 4.5.
4.5.
Cohen.
Cohen. And 0.5, Trot.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you. Okay, Ivy, 4 votes.
4 votes, Trot.
4, Trot. Library users, 3 votes.
1 Trot, 1 Cohen, 1 Sewell.
1 Trot, 1 Cohen, 1 Sewell. Students. 5 votes.
Nabs.
1 vote, Sewell. 4 votes, Cohen.
1 Sewell, 4 Cohen. National Association of Blind Teachers, 2 votes.
NABT, 0.75 Cohen, 0.75 Trot, 0.5 Sewell.
0.75 Cohen, 0.75 Trot, 0.5 Sewell. Randolph Shepherd, vendors, 25 votes.
RSVA, 25.00 votes, Trot.
25, Trot. Viva, 2 votes.
Viva votes 2, Trot.
2, Trot. Mr. President, that concludes the roll call.
Thank you very much. Jeff, how about that resolution now?
Whereas the Architectural Barriers Act, ABA, which requires that all federally... I'm sorry. It's getting late, I guess. Thank you. This is Resolution 2004-20. Whereas the Architectural Barriers Act, ABA, which requires that all federally owned or leased buildings and facilities be accessible to individuals with disabilities, was originally enacted in 1968. And subsequently was incorporated as Section 502 of Title V of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 as amended. And whereas the Architectural and Transportation Barriers Compliance Board, Access Board, in the late 1970s, pursuant to the authority granted under the ABA, promulgated model voluntary accessibility standards for federally owned and leased buildings and facilities known as the Minimum Government Requirements for Accessible Design, MGRAD. And whereas the 4 federal standard-setting agencies, the General Services Administration, GSA, Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, Department of Defense, DOD, and the U.S. Postal Service, USPS, designated in the MGRAD, promulgated in 1980 mandatory accessibility standards for federally owned or leased buildings and facilities known as the Uniform Federal Accessibility Standards, UFAS. And whereas the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, ADA, requires broader and more comprehensive accessibility rights for individuals with disabilities. And whereas pursuant to the authority granted to it under the ADA, The Access Board in 1991 promulgated Model ADA accessibility standards known as the Americans with Disabilities Act Accessibility Guidelines, ADAG. And whereas the United States Department of Justice, DOJ, and the Department of Transportation, DOT, then adopted the ADAG and incorporated the accessibility provisions of the ADAG into their respective mandatory ADA accessibility standards. And whereas the Access Board in the fall of 1999 issued a proposed rule for public notice and comment that proposed a thoroughgoing updating, revising, and insofar as practicable, the harmonizing of the accessibility provisions of both the ADAG and the MGRAD. And whereas at long last, the Access Board has recently announced that it has been granted approval by the Office of Management and Budget, OMB, to publish as a final rule the revisions to both the ADAG and the MGRAD, and that the Access Board intends to publish this final rule on July 26, 2004, the 14th anniversary of the enactment into law of the ADA. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind that this organization... That this organization applauds the Access Board upon its promulgation of the long-awaited and anticipated final rule revising, updating, and harmonizing the accessibility provisions of both the ADAG and the MGRAD under the ABA. And be it further resolved that this organization calls upon the four federal standard-setting agencies, GSA, HUD, DOD, and USPS, to promptly commence regulatory proceedings to revise the UFAS by incorporating into UFAS the revised and modernized accessibility provisions contained in the Access Board's ADAG and ABA accessibility rule. And be it further resolved that this organization calls upon DOJ and DOT to also promptly commence rulemaking proceedings to revise their respective ADA accessibility standards through adopting the newly promulgated Access Board's final ADAG and ABA accessibility standards rules, and be it further resolved that this organization instructs its officers, directors, and staff to promptly communicate the substance of this resolution to appropriate federal government officials who have responsibilities for accessibility standards. This resolution was submitted by Charlie Hodge. The committee represents, it doesn't represent anything. The committee recommends, however, a due pass, and I so move.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by saying nay. The resolution is adopted. That's Jeff, one more.
Okay. We'll... Okay, hopefully we have 21. Whereas printed information is critical to the continued independence and exercise of democratic freedoms for the tens of millions of people living in the United States who have a severe vision loss or other print disability. That should be print impairment or other print disability. Let me start that over so that I read it correctly. Whereas printed information is critical to the continued independence and exercise of democratic freedom for the tens of millions of people living in the United States who have a severe vision impairment or other print disability. And whereas for more than 35 years, radio reading services have provided to this population substantial daily access to printed information, including newspapers and other current publications and information. And whereas significantly improved audio quality of the radio system is desirable and essential to increased usability of these systems by consumers, and whereas the use of proprietary consumer radio equipment is anathema to the free exercise of the right of information access, and whereas the International Association of Audio Information Services, IAAIS, has called for substantial improvement in audio fidelity over that of existing analog subcarrier transmissions, and whereas the high-definition HD radio systems promulgated by Ibiquity Digital Corporation have the potential to provide for the information access needs of blind and print-impaired listeners. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind that this organization supports the IAAIS in its call for substantial improvement in audio fidelity over that of existing analog subcarrier transmissions. And be it further resolved that the American Council of the Blind supports and promotes the preservation of the ability for all radio reading services to operate within the provisions of the current copyright laws, the making of enhanced information access services increasingly available to persons who are print impaired, and the design and manufacture of fully accessible radios. And be it further resolved that this organization directs its officers, directors, and staff to collaborate with IAAIS and any other organization, manufacturer, or consumer advocacy group in order to ensure the future growth, accessibility, and availability of broadcast-delivered information access services. This was submitted by Mike Duke on behalf of IAAIS. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Chris, this is David Zuli with a couple of questions for Jeff Tong.
Okay.
Jeff, do you know whether, or does the Resolutions Committee have concrete information about any of the following? Would the cost of the service be reduced by the digital system in the long run? Would the coverage potential, the number of people who can be reached through the system, be increased? Would the number of channels be increased? Do you have a concrete answer for any of those?
I don't. I know that the amount of information would be increased. As to the others,
Mr.
I would
Chair,
have to defer to the author. Thank you.
This is Mike.
Okay. The reason I asked the question is that...
Mike, address the question also.
Oh, I apologize.
It is very likely that the coverage will increase. We don't know that yet, and the reason we don't know that yet because these systems are just beginning to be tested. We will know that within the next probably 6 months.
Okay.
The cost, ultimately, over time, as the goal here is to have an off-the-shelf unit that the consumer purchases that can then be addressed. And much as a set-top television cable box is addressed, an addressable unit, as they call it, that potentially any radio has the potential to receive that second audio channel once authorized by the particular service involved. So once that's set up and in place, yes, it will be cheaper.
Thank you. This leads me to my next suggestion. Yes. The impression that I get in listening to the first reading of the improper term of your reading of this valuable resolution is that the primary advantage is going to be audio quality, and I don't think that's going to sell as well as a couple of these other points that you do have in your favor if there is a good place to pop them in as a friendly amendment.
Okay, thank you, David.
Thank you. Should I wait at the mic or take this offline?
I don't have a problem if you want to move audio quality down to lower into the thing, but all of the above are, you know, it's going to affect all of them. And we think right now that the audio quality is going to be much, much greater.
I think that's important to us, especially to those of us who have any degree of hearing loss. I just don't think it's as strong a selling point as cost or, I forget, the other thing we talked about. I'd like to see all that are of importance in there. Thank you.
So are we saying we'll just move audio quality down? Jeff, do you have a problem with that?
As I said, as the submitter of the resolution, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
Okay, I can... Are you talking about the? Are you talking about the resolved the whereas clause that defines the new audio radio? Are you talking about this clause, David? Let me read it. You can tell me if this is what you're talking about. Whereas the high definition HD radio systems promulgated by Ubiquity Digital Corporation have the potential to provide for the information access needs of blind and print-impaired listeners?
No, that's a good whereas.
Okay. Are you talking about a whereas clause or one of the resolves?
I think it was within the resolves.
Okay.
It's hard to say.
Do a search for audio quality or fidelity.
Okay, I will read the resolve clauses. But this organization supports the AIS in its call for substantial improvements in audio fidelity over that of existing analog subcarrier transmissions. Is that it?
Yes. Because that's it. It sounds like that is your primary focus. And perhaps it is. So I wanted to bring this to your attention.
I don't think we really ranked them in terms when we passed it at the International Association of Audio Information Services. We didn't really rank them in terms of which is the most important because we felt that, A, they were all important, and, B, they were all doable at one time.
Okay, I'd like to move on if we could.
Okay.
I mean, this is wordsmithing. This is not substantive to the motion. David, you may get an appointment to the Resolutions Committee.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. I'd be happy to help take
discussion?
Care of this stuff there.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. The resolution is adopted. We are now ready to announce the vote, so I'll turn the microphone over to Darrell Buford.
There's got to be a rule.
Mr. President, the results of the vote are Arlene Cohen, 239 votes for 24.6%. Naomi Sewell, 292.75 for 30.1%.
No, we didn't.
David Trott, 439.25 for 45.2%.
Ladies and gentlemen, the meaning of this result is that no candidate received a majority vote. So we will now drop the candidate who received the lowest number of votes, which means that we now have a runoff election between David Trott and Naomi Sewell. So we will now proceed to that vote. If all those please voting for David Trott will now please rise. Jeff, how about another resolution?
Okay.
No, he can't do a roll call yet. We'll get there, though.
This is 2004-22. Whereas it is an unfortunate reality that access to appliances, devices, and other forms of technology in everyday use is becoming increasingly more of a challenge to the blind and visually impaired community. And whereas the electronics and appliance industries need to be educated as to the low cost and simplicity of making such devices more universally accessible at the design stage, as well as to the market potential if this action is taken. And whereas improved accessibility to devices and appliances would significantly enhance the lives of people who are blind and visually impaired, now therefore be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind, that this organization directs its staff to send a letter to trade associations and manufacturers of appliances and electronic devices and to other appropriate organizations educating them about the need to take into account the blind and visually impaired community in designing their products, and be it further resolved that ACB, through its Information Access Committee, is ready and willing to assist such trade associations and their members to facilitate universal design, and be it further resolved that the ACB Information Access Committee is directed to attempt to establish meetings with such trade associations and their members to implement the purposes of this resolution. This resolution was presented to us by the Information Access Committee. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Next.
Okay. This is number 2004-23. Whereas the American Council of the Blind values the contributions of each and every one of its members and friends, and whereas each year people with physical disabilities participate in the ACB annual convention, and whereas the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, ADA, requires that hotel shuttle services be accessible to people with disabilities, including those who use wheelchairs, and whereas this requirement has been a part of the ADA accessibility regulation since 1992, and whereas the American Council of the Blind conventions represent a significant financial benefit to the convention hotel as well as other local businesses and facilities. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind that this organization directs its officers, directors, and staff to ensure that when any convention hotel provides shuttle transportation for convention attendees, such transportation will be available to all convention attendees, including those who use wheelchairs. And be it further resolved that in accordance with ADA requirements, such transportation shall be provided at the same cost to all convention attendees. And be it further resolved that the Convention Coordinating Committee is hereby directed to immediately amend the ACB Convention Guidelines to include the substance of this resolution. And be it further resolved that future hotel convention contracts include provisions to fully implement the policy set forth in this resolution. This resolution was submitted to us by Marlena Lieberg. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Mr. Chair.
It's been moved and seconded. Who calls for the floor?
Cynthia Towers.
Yes, Cynthia.
Jeff, would you... one of the things that I'm thinking about is that contracts have been signed through 07, and how does this resolution deal with that?
This wouldn't apply to... It's as far as the contracts themselves are concerned, it would not apply to those contracts. It would certainly put the convention committee on the board and the board on notice that we want compliance by hotels, but it wouldn't affect the contracts themselves.
I know it wouldn't affect the contract, but for example, if next year, let's just say that the Riviera does not have accessible vans, what does this mean for this resolution?
Of course, I'm only one interpreter, but it's my interpretation that this would have no effect on the convention's ability to carry out its contract, but that we would do all that we could possibly do in order to try and make the hotel comply with the law.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Yes, is that Marlena?
Yes, this is Marlena. Oh, my
okay.
Gosh. Yes, this is Marlena. And I do want to clarify that point because I struggled mightily over it. My intent is not to have an impact on what has already been signed, but rather to hopefully bring this again to the attention of the Convention Coordinating Committee that they may bring it to the attention of future hotels up through 2007, whom, if they do provide shuttle service, which is not accessible, of course, are in violation of the law. And that's my only intent.
Thank you very much, Marlena. Those standing for David Trott, please sit down. Those standing for Naomi Sewell, please rise. I heard a lady calling for the floor.
Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Carla.
This is Carla Rushville of Kentucky. The convention policies and guidelines have been updated. Were updated with after the Houston Convention. I wish to remind everyone that this contract was signed prior to 2001, and we have therefore been operating under that contract. We do make every effort to include, in fact, all of our current contracts include ADA clauses. You must keep in mind, however, that hotels are not going to go out and buy new vehicles just because we're coming to town. They do, however, when we talk about shuttle with them in coming years, we will, of course, apprise them of the fact that we are in need of accessible transportation for all. So I would be comfortable with this resolution if it were written in such a way as to be a strong advisory to the committee.
Mr. Chair.
Mr.
Chairman.
Just a moment. Marlena, are you seeking the floor again?
Yes, and I want to clarify that there were no two people who worked harder to get Gary Lieberg, who is a wheelchair user, and me out of the airport for 3.5 hours last week after this hotel told us twice that they had a wheelchair-accessible shuttle than Cynthia Towers and Carla Rusheville. This resolution is in no way an indictment of our convention coordinating committee, but rather an attempt to strengthen this apparently existing, which I wasn't aware this was existing, piece of our convention guidelines.
Marlene, and Mr. Chairman, Carla's made a point that if the resolution is advisory, then it's not problematic. Is this advisory in your mind? Or is that your intent to make it advisory?
I mean, I guess my concern about it, and again, I say this with the deepest respect for these two women, because they truly did try everything to help us, but I guess that it didn't work this time. And so I guess I feel pretty strongly that I'd like to keep the resolution worded the way in which it is.
Mr. Chairman.
Now then, Ray Campbell's calling for the floor. Is there calling for the floor?
Thank you.
Just a moment. Was there a lady calling for the floor as well? No, apparently.
Okay.
At least not yet. Ray, one moment, please. Everybody may be seated. And now I recognize you, Ray.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
I would like to keep this resolution, with all due respect to the convention committee and to Carla and Cynthia and everybody involved, worded as strongly as it is. This has been the law for 12 years.
Right.
And we got to get these people. If we're going to be an advocacy organization for civil rights, then we need to be practicing what we're preaching in our conventions.
Right.
And I definitely want to keep this as strong as it is. And I say, leave it alone. Let's vote for the thing.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, who?
This is Gene Sanders from Florida.
Yes, Gene.
I have a suggestion in the meantime to solve this problem. In advance of arriving in the town of the convention, have a paratransit van available for those people so they can get to the hotel.
No, Mr. Chairman.
All right. I completely oppose that.
Hold on, folks. Hold on. We've heard the resolution. We're not. We don't need to have a big argument about this now.
Well, when you when it's suggested that a hotel be excused from their ADA responsibility by simply dragging in a paratransit van, I think we do need to have a debate.
Well, I think having a discussion about it is fine, but we've got the people beginning to yell for the floor and get very excited. There's no reason for that.
Yes, the president.
Yes, Paul.
No, this is Greg Holland.
Who is that?
Greg Holland.
Yes, Greg.
I would also, as Ray stated, with all due respect to Carla and Cynthia, I mean, no, we a paratransit is not acceptable, and if a hotel offers shuttle service, I'm going to just have to echo Ray and say, hey, if they offer it, then we got to stand strong and demand that they offer accessible transportation.
Mr. Chairman.
Marlena, you've had the floor, and I'm not going to recognize you for a while.
Are there other people who wish to speak now in opposition?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would like a point of clarification then.
Yes.
I would like to know if then this resolution means that if the hotel does not own the van, then we cannot sign a contract with them. Is that what it means?
May I clarify?
Now you may have the floor, Marlena.
Thank you, because that's where I was going, Carla. My thought in this resolution is I don't care if it's a paratransit bus that's there or if it's a limousine with a lift that's there. I don't care who owns it as long as it's there. And I...
Okay. Right.
So I don't... I appreciate the supporters of this resolution coming out and saying things about paratransit, but please don't confuse what I'm saying. If the hotel needs to contract with paratransit, go for it. All we want to do is get on the bloody bus.
Then, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Carla.
With Marlena's explanation, then I can rise in support of the resolution.
All right, Carla.
Okay. And, Jeff, I want to ask you, given this discussion, I mean, we all understand that the record of discussion is germane to the resolution, but in 3 or 4 or 5 years, we won't remember all the details of this discussion. Can the committee be sure that this discussion is contained in a meaningful way in the final text?
I don't know that we necessarily need to change the resolution based on the discussion, because the resolution doesn't require the hotel to provide any particular means of accessible shuttle service, just so long as they provide one if they have accessible shuttles. So I think the resolution is, as it stands, sufficient.
Okay, very good. Very good. Thank you. Any more debate? Hearing no calls, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Resolution is adopted. We can now move to the call of the roll for the election, and I turn the chair over to Donna Seliger.
Mr. Chair?
Who seeks the floor?
Cynthia Towers.
Yes.
I just wanted to get in before the roll call and before we broke a couple announcements about the banquet. Is that okay right now? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, there was some confusion about banquet tickets. I have talked to Elaine from the Minneapolis office. She will be at the door to sell banquet tickets. They are $38, and please come with correct change or correct dollars or a check. There is a pre-function in East A, B, and C. As you go down the escalators, it is to the left. And that is where cocktails and other beverages can be purchased. The banquet will be in ballroom A and B, just across the hall, down the escalators on the right. And I've talked to you about the numbering of tables, and a map will be provided for the volunteers to also assist you as well. The menu is Caesar salad, sirloin of beef, and chocolate mousse. The vegetarian option is a vegetarian lasagna. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is Karen Eitel in this room? Karen, the ACB store has your cane, and they would like you to pick it up. Okay? Now let's proceed to the roll call.
Okay. Alabama Council, 9 votes.
Alabama votes, 9 votes for David Trott.
9 Trott. Alaska Independent Blind, 18 votes.
Alaska Independent Blind, 18 votes, David Trott.
18 Trott. Arizona Council, 7 votes.
Arizona cast 7 votes for Sewell.
7, Sewell. Arkansas Council, 5 votes.
Arkansas cast 4 votes Trot, 1 Sewell.
4 Trot, 1 Sewell. California Council, 25 votes.
21 Sewell, 4 Trot.
21 Sewell, 4 Trot. ACB of Colorado, 4 votes.
The other dogs were trying to help each other find the mic. 2 Trot, 2 Sewell.
2 Trot, 2 Sewell. Delaware Council, 1 vote.
Delaware Council, 1 vote. Naomi Sewell.
1 Sewell. D.C. Council, 3 votes.
D.C., 1.5 for each.
1.5 Trot, 1.5 Sewell. Florida Council, 25 votes.
Florida Council cast 17 votes for Naomi Sewell, 8 votes for David Trot.
17 Sewell, 8 Trot. Georgia Council, 12 votes.
Georgia Council, the blind, cast 10 votes for David Trot and 2 for Naomi Sewell.
10 Trot, 2 Sewell. Mm-hmm. Hawaii Association, 2 votes.
2 votes for Sewell.
2 Sewell. Illinois Council, 8 votes.
Madam Secretary, the Illinois Council cast 4.5 votes Trot, 3.5 votes Sewell.
4.5 Trot, 3.5 Sewell.
That is correct.
ACB of Indiana, 8 votes.
ACB of Indiana votes 6 Trot, 2 Sewell.
6 Trot, 2 Sewell. Iowa Council, 7 votes.
Iowa cast 7 Sewell.
7 Sewell. Bluegrass, 4 votes.
Bluegrass, 4 Trot.
4 Trot. Kentucky Council, 13 votes.
Kentucky Council, 13 votes Trot.
13 Trot. Louisiana Council, 3 votes.
Louisiana Council votes 2 Sewell, 1 Trot.
2 Sewell, 1 Trot. ACB of Maine, 3 votes.
ACB of Maine goes 1.5 Trot, 1.5 Sewell.
1.5 Trot, 1.5 Sewell. ACB of Maryland, 5 votes.
Maryland, 5 votes Sewell.
5 Sewell. Bay State Council, 14 votes.
Bay State, 12.5 for Sewell, 1.5 for Trot.
12.5 Sewell, 1.5 Trot. Michigan Council, 1 vote.
Michigan, 1 vote Sewell.
1 Sewell. ACB of Minnesota, 4 votes.
Minnesota, 4, Sewell.
4, Sewell. Mississippi Council, 9 votes.
4.5 Trot, 4.5 Sewell.
4.5 Trot, 4.5 Sewell. Missouri Council, 25 votes.
Missouri, 25, David Trot.
25 Trot. ACB of Nebraska, 3 votes.
All right.
Nebraska, 3 votes Sewell.
3 Sewell. Nevada Council, 2 votes.
Nevada, 2 Trot.
2 Trot. New Jersey Council, 5 votes.
New Jersey Council, 5 Sewell.
5 Sewell. ACB of New Mexico, 2 votes.
ACB of New Mexico, 2 votes Trot.
2 Trot. ACB of New York State, 8 votes.
ACBNY, 2.75 Trot, 5.25 Sewell.
2.75 Trot, 5.25 Sewell. North Carolina, 10 votes.
North Carolina, 10 votes, David Trot.
10 Trot. North Dakota Association, 6 votes.
North Dakota cast 6 votes for David Trot.
6 Trot. ACB of Ohio, 14 votes.
ACB of Ohio, 2 Trot, 12 Sewell.
2 Trot, 12 Sewell. Oklahoma Council, 25 votes.
Oklahoma Council, 5 Sewell, 20 Trot.
5 Sewell, 20 Trot. Oregon Council, 11 votes.
Oregon cast 11 votes for David Trot.
11 Trot. Pennsylvania Council, 25 votes.
Pennsylvania Council votes 15 for Trot, 10 for Sewell.
15 Trot, 10 Sewell. ACB of South Carolina, 3 votes.
ACB of South Carolina, 3 Sewell.
3 Sewell. Tennessee Council, 5 votes.
Tennessee, 4.5 Sewell, 0.5 Trot.
4.5 Sewell, 0.5 Trot. ACB of Texas, 10 votes.
ACB of Texas cast 6 for Trot and 4 for Sewell.
6 Trot, 4 Sewell. Utah Council, 25 votes.
Utah Council casts 25 for Sewell.
25 Sewell. Vermont Council, 3 votes.
Vermont, 3 for Trot.
3 Trot. Old Dominion Council, 3 votes.
Old Dominion Council, the blind and visually impaired, 2.5 votes for David Trot, 0.5 for Naomi Sewell.
2.5 Trot, 0.5 Sewell. Virginia Association, 25 votes.
Virginia Association cast all 25 votes for Trot.
25 Trot. Washington Council, 13 votes.
Washington Council of the Blind casts 9.75 for Trot, 3.25 for Sewell.
9.75 Trot, 3.25 Sewell. Mountain State, 1 vote.
Mountain State, 1 vote for David Trot.
1 Trot. Badger Association, 23 votes.
Badger Association, 23 votes, Sewell.
23, Sewell. Alliance on Aging, 4 votes.
The Alliance on Aging gives all its 4 votes to Sewell.
4, Sewell. Attorneys, 2 votes.
One vote Trot, 1 vote Sewell.
1 Trot, 1 Sewell. Government employees, 1 vote.
1/2 Trot, 1/2 Sewell.
Lions, 4 votes. Oh, I'm sorry, 1.5 Trot, 0.5 Sewell. I was getting ahead of myself. Okay, government employees. And now, Lions, 4 votes.
4 Trot.
4 Trot. Radio Amateurs, 2 votes.
Radio Amateurs, 2 Trot.
2 Trot. B-Flag, 2 votes.
B-Flag, 2 for Trot.
2 Trot. Bits, 2 votes.
Bits, 2 votes, Sewell.
2 Sewell. Braille Revival League, 10 votes.
Braille Revival League will post 7 for Sewell and 3 for Trot.
7 Sewell, 3 Trot. CCLBI, 11 votes.
CCLBI cast 8 votes for Trot, 3 votes for Sewell.
Yeah. 8 votes Trot, 3 Sewell. Council of Families, 3 votes.
Council of Families, 3 votes Trot.
3 Trot. Friends in Art, 2.
Friends in Art, 2 votes Naomi Sewell.
2 Sewell. Guide Dog Users, 25 votes.
Guide Dog Users, 24.5 Sewell, 0.5 Trot.
24.5 Sewell, 0.5 Trot. Ivy, 4 votes.
Ivy, 4 votes Trot.
4 Trot. Library Users, 3 votes.
2 Sewell, 1 Trot.
2 Sewell, 1 Trot. National Alliance of Blind Students, 5 votes.
NABS, 5, Sewell.
5, Sewell. National Association of Blind Teachers, 2 votes.
NABT, 1.5, Trot, 0.5, Sewell.
1.5, Trot, 0.5, Sewell. Randolph Shepherd Vendors, 25 votes.
Madam Secretary, to give you a break, if Carla Hayes is in the room, she needs to find me in the Washington delegation. RSVA votes, 25 votes, Trot.
25, Trot. Viva, 2 votes.
Viva votes, 2 votes, Trot.
2, Trot. Mr. President, that concludes the roll call.
Thank you very much. Jeff, how about another one of those resolutions?
Okay, let me report
on... By the way, maybe I shouldn't ask you this. How are we doing? Do we have a lot left? Or
well,
we...
resolutions are doing pretty well. I'm going to report on 2 that were withdrawn, and we have 3 left.
Well, we're doing
great. So
that's
one, yes. Number 27, dealt with federal contracts under the Randolph Shepherd Act, and it came to us from RSVA, and it was withdrawn. Number 29 concerning the Educational Testing Service, and it was from Gabe Griffith and other students, and it was withdrawn. And I should say that just because these were withdrawn didn't mean their issues weren't important, but we're trying to just flesh them out more, so that shouldn't be taken as a negative on the fact that they're being withdrawn. And we will now turn to if it pops up. Number 24. Whereas audio description is used in movies to enable people who are blind or visually impaired to obtain visual information. And whereas XM satellite radio is a non-visual media. And whereas XM satellite radio is marketed to truck drivers, automobile drivers, and others for whom watching movies may be either unsafe or impractical. And whereas XM satellite radio has over 1 million subscribers, and whereas these subscribers represent additional demand for movie producers to include audio description, and whereas this increased demand for audio described movies would benefit consumers who are blind or visually impaired, and whereas the Media Access Group at WGBH is already communicating with XM satellite radio to promote audio described movies through that medium, now therefore be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind that this organization collaborates with the Media Access Group at WGBH to actively promote the inclusion of audio described movies in this fast-growing market, and be it further resolved that this organization directs the ACB Executive Director to write a letter to the Media Access Group at WGBH to express both our appreciation for their effort on this matter and to request specific actions that this organization can take to assist in the promotion of the broadcast of audio-described movies on XM radio. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
I think it'd be cool if you could, yeah. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Melanie?
Here, I'll hand you the mic.
I almost overrode the executive director with a vote. I can't be doing that.
I just have a question. I know there are 2 providers of XM radio, and I wonder if this resolution encompasses both of those, or is XM one of the providers only?
Yeah, that's a good question. Could we add Sirius in there as well and do that without violating the spirit of the motion?
What's the other name?
Sirius.
Hi, Michael Malver from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah, Michael.
The We could do that, and that may be one solution. I actually crafted this thing after, or presented it after showing it to Mary Watkins, and she did not mention Sirius. I didn't ask her, but the fact is she didn't say, wait a minute, we're also partnering with Sirius. But you could change it, or you could just say with like radio, satellite radio broadcast media, or something like that.
That might even be better. There are reasons I can easily think of why Sirius wouldn't necessarily be mentioned, but we don't want to box ourselves in if other opportunities arise. Maybe adding the such as. Would that
right,
be agreeable
yeah.
to you, Jeff?
Your suggestion, Chris, is such as XM Radio?
Yes.
That's certainly doable.
Okay.
Mr. President.
Everybody agree with that? I don't hear any big complaints. Who's
yes. Mr. President, it's Richard Villa. I have one concern with doing a resolution like this, and I wonder that it might kind of let the TV people say, well, gee, it's being done on radio. Why should we worry about it? That's my concern, you know, if we do this.
Okay.
So I don't know what we might insert or do to it to prevent that kind of thing.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Marlena?
I'd just like to make two brief points. One, I don't think you can ever have too much audio description. So with all due respect to Mr. Villa, I think the more the better, and I don't think the intent is to let anybody off the hook from anything, but right. rather to increase what already should be. And two, I know that there are many, many blind people already listening to XM, and there are many people who participate on an XM listserv who are blind. So that may be why XM was chosen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's move to a vote now. Will all those in favor signify by saying aye?
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion carries and the resolution is adopted. I will turn the chair over to Darrell Buford for a vote.
Mr. President, at the end of the day, I will need some 3.5-inch formatted floppy disk. If anyone has about 4 or 5 they could give us, would be deeply appreciated. Now the vote for Naomi Sewell, 430.5 votes for a percentage of 45.0%. David Trott, 526.5 votes for 55.0%.
You Alabamans sure do like your tables. David, are you in a microphone?
Yes. Yes, I am.
All right.
I want to thank you for recognizing the hard work of Alabama. It's been 29 years since an Alabamian was on this board, and I don't think you'll regret putting one back on there today. For those of you who voted for my opponents, I ask you to join with me and work with me, and let's bring ACB back where it needs to be. Thank you very much.
All right.
It is now 4:47 p.m., and while I don't doubt that we could begin the process of another election, we might even get through the speeches and so forth, it's not really clear to me that that would be in the best interest of the group to do that. I really think that we would be better served to wait to continue the conducting of elections until tomorrow morning. Is that acceptable to everybody?
Yes.
No, let's get this one done.
We're going to be leaving this room at 5 o'clock.
Oh my God!
And that's not going to change.
Well, then you can't do it.
So I just don't think that unless there is a huge belief that we should start, that we can do that. I will, however, say.
Mr. Chairman. On the left hand. 15 minutes.
Mr. Chairman,
I would also like to say that the life member reception will be postponed for 15 minutes.
Are you sure?
I think a few Alabamans had to stick around here to vote.
Mr. President.
So they're not quite ready yet. Who's the lady calling for the floor?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Carla.
I would like to propose that we reconvene at 7:30 a.m. so as to give the maximum number of people an opportunity to participate in business before they have to leave.
Well, Carla, the agenda says 8, and we planned for 8 all this time, but you did make a motion, I guess, and it had a second. So we'll
Mr. Chairman,
we'll vote on that. We're not going to debate this motion. I recognize that debate is a good thing, but it's almost 5 o'clock. All in favor of 7:30, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no.
No.
The motion is defeated.
Now, Mr. President.
Yes. Who calls for the floor?
This is Nola McKinney from AAVL.
Yes, Nola.
I'd like to notify Donna that I, as the delegate, and my alternate, Nellie Fulmeyer, will be leaving tomorrow morning, so Teddy Joy Renhill will be here to cast the votes.
Very well.
Thank you.
Thank you very
Ms.
much.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
This is Sandy Edwards from Arkansas.
Yes, Sandy.
I'm the delegate, and Joyce Wilmer is our alternate delegate. We'll both be leaving in the morning. Our votes will be cast by Julie Triplett.
By who?
Julie Triplett.
Julie
Triplett. Triplett. T-R-I-P-L-E-T-T.
Triplett. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
What is our meeting time to start tomorrow morning?
8 a.m.
8 a.m. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
Patricia Beatty for an announcement. I'd like to remind folks that CCLVI is having its Farewell to Birmingham dance tonight, beginning at 9:30 and going till 1 a.m. in ballrooms A, B, and C on the first floor. If you don't have a ticket, not to worry, $10 at the door to hear the dancing and listening music of our own Kent. Thanks. Gordon Kent. Thanks a lot. See you tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's come back to order.
Mr. President.
I want to make you aware that tomorrow we have a few resolutions left. We have, I believe, 8 amendments to the Constitution and bylaws left to vote on. We have one board seat election, and we have the members of the Board of Publications, the 3 members to be elected in this year. Those are the items of business to come before us tomorrow, and they are important items. I hope as many of you as can be here will be here to do that.
Mr. President?
Yes, is that Randy?
I just wanted to let you know that tomorrow, due to airplane schedules, there is a very good possibility that we are not going to be able to have a delegate from Oklahoma here for the good part of that meeting.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. President?
Yes, Donna.
Are any of the resolutions housekeeping type, thank yous and so forth?
Jeff, are any of these housekeeping resolutions? Jeff is gone.
Oh.
So if you're going to do what I think you're going to do... Oh, he's getting to a mic. He's getting to a mic. And Jeff, when you get to a mic, if you heard the question, just answer it. If not, I'll repeat it, or Donna will repeat it.
Mr. Chairman...
Just a moment. You're not.
Yes, we do have 3 housekeeping resolutions, but they really I wasn't okay. counting them because they take very little time to do.
Okay. You all right with that, Donna?
Oh yeah, sure.
All right. Who's the lady calling for the floor?
This is Suzanne from Delaware.
Yes, Suzanne.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to let you and Donna know that my mother and I will be leaving tomorrow. We have no other representatives from Delaware to vote.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Ray?
I'm very concerned that we may not have a quorum tomorrow. What happens if that happens? Well, how do we proceed?
I think what we have to do, Ray, and I hope people will indulge me in this, I think we need to assemble tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. and then consider what to do when we see the people who are there, and what kind of turnout we do have. You may remember this morning when we asked who could be here and who could not, the clapping was about 50-50. It was very close. And so I would propose that we wait until we gather in the morning and then decide how to proceed.
Good enough.
Because to be honest, we don't have a whole lot of folks remaining here right now to decide either.
Mr. President?
Yes, Paul.
The Florida Council of the Blind would like to announce to the Secretary that Paul Edwards and Robert Miller will be delegate and alternate for Florida tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Any other announcements? In that case, ladies and gentlemen, I'll entertain a motion to recess. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. We're now in recess. Life members, come about 5:15, 5:20, and we'll see you all soon at the banquet to have a very nice, relaxing evening. Thank you.
ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community, and historically, for the first time in 43 national conventions of the American Council of the Blind, we go to a seventh day. We will be in session tomorrow morning from 8 a.m. Central Time, and ACB Radio will be bringing you live coverage, obviously. And still to my right is Jonathan Mosen. Jonathan.
Yes, I hate to burst your Richard Dimbleby star bubble there, but actually the convention used to go to a Saturday until Chris Gray became president.
Right.
And one of the first things that he introduced was a Friday afternoon session.
Right.
Which we never used to have.
Right.
So we did, in fact, used to go into a seventh day.
Well, you see, that's fascinating because I've asked probably 50 people this week, has it ever gone to a Saturday before? And every one of them has said no.
Well, there you go. They are wrong.
They are wrong.
It used to be routine that we would go into a seventh day, and we just went until we had to until we could do no more business.
Right.
And what happened in the last year of the Edwards presidency was that a number of people raised concerns, saying, well, we have all of these important resolutions and amendments, and you tend to get the business end of the program towards the end of the week.
Yes.
A lot of people had left by Saturday, and so Chris indicated when he was president-elect that he would change that. And so that's when we actually started a Friday afternoon session.
Right, and that was intended to replace the Saturday.
That's right. So it is the first time since the Friday afternoon session was instituted that we have had to go into a Saturday.
Bear with me one minute. Jonathan, could you hold the fort and tell people about what's been happening this afternoon in respect to elections and things? I've got a bit of a phone call situation here.
Okay.
I'm going to leave you in charge.
Thank you. Off you go.
Some cans there.
Oh, that's much better. Good to have some cans. All right, let me just get organised. It's like old times, isn't it? ACB Radio Mainstream, and this afternoon we've heard from
Jonathan,
the business of the ACB, and Jay Dardner is with me. Jay, I'm minding the ACB radio port.
I didn't know you were minding the store.
Yeah, that's okay. So what's your take on this, Jay? It's pretty much a status quo result so far. All of the incumbents have been returned to the board, although we haven't got through all of the elections at this point.
That's correct, we haven't. And of course, at this point, the slate has been pretty much nominated, as brought out, even though there were efforts on the part of some other candidates to come in there.
That's right.
But at this point, the slate, as it came out of the nominating committee, has been elected.
And what's remarkable is that we still have yet to complete the board elections, let alone going on to the board of publications, and it looks like that the attendance at convention tomorrow is going to be considerably depleted.
Yes, this is the problem that we even thought of as, well, we've been saying all week, and we were hoping that we could get through as much today as possible. Unfortunately, I think some of these resolutions and some of the Constitution amendments really slow the whole process down. So tomorrow when we get in here at 8 o'clock, hopefully they'll get through these elections pretty quickly. We'd have two more positions to elect to the board. And
is
then
it
we
two
have
more?
I think it is only one.
Well, I think
it's
one.
Five
altogether. Right.
And then we have the three positions for the BOP, and there are five candidates there.
Right. And that could take a long time with five candidates if we're just taking however many it takes to make a majority.
We'll see.
I mean, this was a debate that we had earlier in the week, wasn't it, about how that works. If you have five candidates, and each of those candidates gets, approximately 25% of the vote or whatever, do you just drop off the last person, or do you take as many as it takes to get a majority? I think that was the compromise reached, wasn't it, that you would have to take as many from the top down that
it
would take to...
That's generally how it works. It all depends on who runs against who.
Right.
What they usually do is what they always do is present the slate, the person, the slate person. And then from there, they see what happens. Sometimes, for example, let's say nobody runs against Mike. Then they do like they did with Oral today. They just announce a unanimous decision.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that one.
And indeed, that is the strategy in itself of the ACB election process, that you have to, as a candidate, choose who you will run against. And obviously nobody felt brave enough to run against Oral Miller, for example, today. So people kind of pitch who they think they may be able to defeat, but as we've seen today, the nominating committee's slate to this point has been resoundingly endorsed. Inevitably, there's always some wailing and gnashing of teeth and post-mortem after these conventions, and it seems to me there may be some thought given to how the process of constitutional amendments might be streamlined. I was just talking to Dave here about the organisation that I'm a former president of in New Zealand, where we actually have a 3-month cut-off point, at which point you can't submit constitution and bylaw amendments anymore. And after that, they are circulated, so there's no need to have a first reading because everybody's read them before they've come to the convention. And it's a much more rapid process. And I think probably there'll be a lot of talk about what can be done constructively to speed up the process of business without in any way compromising democracy, and whether, in fact, the balance is correct. Should there be more time for business at the beginning of the week?
This was one of the ideas I was floating earlier to you, Jonathan, that on certainly Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we only seem to have 40 minutes a day, is it, for business?
Right.
And
a lot of that
small.
Is taken up with sort of invocations and announcements. And
no, this is it.
It goes pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So a fascinating result. And really what you'd have to say is that for those people who came to this convention with a reform agenda, believing that things need to change, the convention, the supreme governing body of the ACB, has by and large said, no, we like it just the way it is, and we like the team who are running the organisation just the way they are. And
let's talk about examples of that. Of course, the first real part of this test, I suppose, for the current administration was this thing yesterday, this recall yesterday,
right,
following the recess.
Yeah, and I think that most people who objectively analysed the culture, the politics of ACB, did not expect that to pass. It was unprecedented, and I think that there were some on the reform side of the agenda who even felt that that was an extreme solution, that you could make some changes through constitutional and even other personnel change means through the election process. As it happens, though, no real significant constitutional changes have been made. There have been a couple of tweaks. For example, the purposes of the ACB have been amended somewhat, and civil rights provisions are included in there. But no real wide-scale, wholesale amendments to critical provisions have really occurred to this point, and we still have a significant number of those amendments left to run tomorrow.
And another example of that is, of course, the Board of Publications, the nominating of which and electing of which has been left intact.
Yeah.
I mean, after 2 hours of debate this morning.
And you'd have to say that that was an interesting outcome. You want your headphones back?
I do. Thank you very much.
it's not as good without them, is it?
It's not, is it?
No. So that was an interesting outcome, and I think there is a very clear message coming out of this convention, and it is that of those who have chosen to attend, took the trouble to attend, they are by and large saying we support the administration and the current constitutional structure.
I think also, to be fair, those who have had the means to attend, I think it would be fair to say as well, because obviously not everyone who would choose to be here is here, but then I guess the other side of the coin is not everyone who has the means to attend would necessarily choose to come. So
Well, that was a difficult one, remarkable really. Thing about today's proceedings for me. There was a constitutional amendment that didn't even spark any debate whatsoever to do with the way that we vote in ACB. For example, sighted people in the room here yesterday were able to tell me, you and other observers, how certain key people in this organisation voted on the recall amendment. Because even with something as fundamental as that, there is no provision for a secret ballot. And so the resolution this morning, the proposed amendment, suggested, no, it was a resolution, I think, wasn't it? It was a resolution suggesting that a committee be established to look at the constitutional implications of secret ballot and participating when you can't attend convention. It was submitted without recommendation, and there was no one in this whole gathering who was prepared to move a motion to adopt. And so that just lapsed.
The banquet this evening, and we'll be back here tomorrow morning. Was there anything else you wanted to add, Jonathan? Anything that struck you about the elections today that was of particular interest? Of course, David Trott was elected to the board today.
Right, and he will continue in office because he came on board in February here in Alabama as a result of resignations. The nominating committee state has so far been endorsed reasonably resoundingly. The closest result was the three-way contest where Naomi Sewell and David Trott were reasonably close. But, it's been a pretty ringing endorsement of the nominating committee's slate at this point.
What's your perspective? And again, this is your opinion, and you're entitled to it. Well, how do you think ACB moves on beyond this convention? Because clearly the convention, as you said, is the supreme governing entity which directs the council in its dealings. In the next year, do you think we're going to have another year of controversy, or...
Well, there's
how
no
do you
doubt.
Read that?
I mean, as I sit behind this microphone, I'm doing my best to kind of provide some... The political scientist in me is coming out. and so I'm trying to provide some objective assessment. And I think that there's no doubt that the president is able to walk away from this convention saying that he has a mandate. The people who have been dissatisfied have thrown everything they can at him, including an unprecedented recall amendment.
And they can point to a 40% standing vote.
It was very interesting that the standing vote was announced separately from the affiliate vote yesterday, that is interesting.
But you see that 40%, will people be happy with it? Will people say, well, we've had our day in court, now we move on, or do you think that will add fuel to the fire? That's what I'm driving at here, I guess.
Well, I think there was an attempt by the president this morning to indicate that he was going to attempt to be sensitive to the wounds that still exist and heal them. Mm. And I suppose it all depends on some of the key players.
Mm-hmm.
Some have already moved on.
Yes.
Others may, as a result of this convention. Mm-hmm. Others may say, look, the process was... I haven't been in close contact with people, if you like, on the reform side or the dissatisfied side of the agenda throughout the week. But I suppose the question is, do they perceive the process that we've been through as fair? I'm not aware of any suggestion that it hasn't been. I think the chairmanship, by and large, has been balanced. And so people may well bide their time and say, okay, look, let's get back on track here. Let's deal with the civil rights issues, the issues that are actually facing blind people in this country, that the American Council of the Blind is here to deal with, and bide our time until 2005, at which point I think you can be assured there'll be a much larger attendance because it's a very attractive convention venue, and of course there is a presidential election. President Gray's entitled to another term. You can be sure that there will be at least one other candidate, and people may well say, look, let's just bide our time, behave constructively, work together when we can, and just get on with it.
And ACB Radio, of course, will be there. It's 5:07 p.m. Central Time, and the banquet begins in less than 2 hours. We can't tell you exactly when the after dinner entertainment will begin this evening, which we will be streaming, of course, on ACB Radio Mainstream. Stay tuned to the lists for further announcements. Obviously, the entertainment will begin when people have finished eating. We're guessing that it will be around 8 p.m. Central Time, but obviously that's subject to change. So in about 3 hours from now, ACB Radio Mainstream will be resuming its live coverage of the 43rd Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind from Birmingham, Alabama. I'm Dave Williams. He's Jonathan Mosen. Bye for now.